Blog Talk Radio.
Looks like we're shy of one horse.
You brought too many.
good evening. Welcome as we set off the hump day affair with the Brain Buffet, courtesy of the chefs and your loving mad scientist here. And so, Free Radio, in the raw. I'm your host, Michael Lewis Ingram, DJ Honeycomb, and as always, it is great to be with you. So, Free Radio in the raw, proudly sponsored by BASNNewsroom.com and the Brother Man Network and the Assassins of the Black Athlete Sports Network. Get all the good shit, the who, what, when, where, why, and how, right now, at www.basnnewsroomallonephrase.com. Shout out to the members of the Brother Man Network, wherever they may be, Radio Reggie in Richmond, Virginia, D. Orlando Ledbetter, and Sonic Cheryl Jones in Philly, Nicky Hampton Sr. in Detroit, Michael Robeson in Oakland, California, the mighty Obama Pat Freeman in Western New York, amidst his kingdom, spreading the word with his great book, The Art of the Interview, Book One, available on Amazon. And, of course, the rest of the brethren when they check in. Riding shotgun with me now, the Orlando Ledbetter. Keep an eye on the Falcons as well as some other good stuff. D, can you hear me?
Hey, loud and clear, brother. How are you?
I am well. How are you and yours?
I'm here, brother. I'm here.
Okay. Well, D, you know the camps are opening. Now they're starting stuff. But the hot story right now has got to be name, image, and licensing. Now it seems like the boosters are going to have no interference in securing the players they want. You know, I know you know a little bit of this process, but this has gone far beyond, you know, shoeboxes full of cash. What are you seeing so far as evidence that this thing is really going to be a game changer?
First, before we even get into that, everyone should ensure that Ed O'Bannon, Ed O'Bannon's wife, and his kids are taken care of from now until that family line ceases to exist.
Yes, sir.
Because if it were not from him, this would not be possible.
Mm-hmm.
But to answer your question, where do I see this thing going? This is the equivalent of traveling out to space. We don't know what the hell we want to see.
Yeah, that's a good analogy.
We really don't know what we're going to see. They can tell you a pro, but these are the same people that tell you that space is so large, we only look in one particular area, so who knows what, you know, around it. So we're, you know, imagine a clock, an old school clock. We're looking at 1 o'clock, but we're not looking at 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. We don't know it. But a school like Alabama will not take any hits. Clemson will not take any hits. I see Florida State and some of the Florida schools where taxes aren't an issue will not take
any
hits.
No,
and maybe the Texas schools as well.
That.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So I would expect to see the University of Texas now reemerge, especially since both they and Oklahoma are going to the SEC in 2026.
Yes, sir.
Probably be earlier than that. Also, a quasi-positive for our HBCUs, because now that people talk about, oh, we love our HBCUs, then, you know, put your money up. Make it show.
Yep.
Make it show. And in particular, you know, look at our regions where we are the most. So in Charlotte, J.C. Smith should not be struggling in the CIAA any longer.
There you go.
None of those schools in Atlanta at the AEC Center should struggle, and nor should the schools in Texas struggle.
No question.
Master P, I can't complain about him. He puts his money where his mouth is. So maybe we see a school like Xavier grow.
That's, you know, the growth potential is really the key. And I'm glad you said it just like you did. We got Tony McClain, Gary Norris Gray, and Radio Reggie in the mix as well. But this is about putting your money where your mouth is now. You know, I mean, we
right.
know that HBCUs need help, and we know that they need a different approach that will allow them to have a recipe for success. But, you know, bottom line, okay, we've made this formula where anybody who's got the money can get into this. So put up or shut up. That really is what it comes down to here.
Now, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, guys, but once again, some of our HBCUs disrespect the graduates. I have seen so many times the horror stories where come graduation and get that sheepskin. All of a sudden, hey, financial office wants to see you. You owe $2,000. You owe $5,000 in mismanagement. And don't even get me started when former President Obama put the screws to HBCUs when it came to that grant and when he raised the credit standards. A lot of people really got hit with that. So I'm just saying, especially when it comes to sports, as Team Everybody points out, they look at sports as being a hindrance as long as you don't cause no headaches to me as far as students having negative publicity. That's all a lot of these presidents worry about. I mean, I'm sorry, man. It's just a cold hard fact.
Well, and Reggie's 100% correct. But you know what? At some, and maybe this is too Pollyanna on my end or whatever, but I think with seeing what has happened to the MEAC, they're going to, I think, if nothing else, they may get shamed into getting off their old rusty dusties now. And look, again, not trying to put it all on Dr. Thomas, but you know, this it might wind up being a blessing in disguise. Whoever winds up replacing him now, they're giving him a year, which gives them enough time to find someone. See, I'm a little biased because I used to work at Winston and what have you, but basically they need like a Jackie McReynolds or just somebody new with new ideas. Because here's the thing. While I think it was threefold what happened with them, instead of trying to figure out why Hampton left and then was followed by they played basically the jealous ex-girlfriend. Oh yeah, go out. You weren't sure when you was here anyway.
He'll be back.
But see, he'll be back any day, you know, and take them hush puppies with you in a sense. But see, in the long run, who do you hurt when you do that? You hurt the conference. Because see, what is it? What are they down to now? Six schools now, right?
Is it five or six?
I want to say six. I think it is six. I mean, I was told there wouldn't be any math, but I'll just say six for argument's sake. But see, it's sad that it has to come to this. But again, it's going to be a put up or shut up thing now because see, look, the SWAC is literally like the SWAC mobilized. The SWAC mobilized.
Yeah.
I mean, basically, let's be honest. Basically, A&M and Bethune-Cookman to the MEAC is what Oklahoma and Texas are going to be for the SEC. Made an already good conference an even greater conference, and it has spread them out. Now, they've got to say, okay, see, after you get through all the hand-wringing and the posturing and what have you, it's like, okay, what do we do next? Now, there at this point in time right now, there's probably not too many, for lack of a better word, SIAC or CIAA schools that are ready to make the move right now. But see, that's for right now. The NCAA gives you what, 2 years to basically, you know, get your shit together for lack of a better word? Well,
before they put you on probation,
if put it this way, if Hampton wasn't a wake-up call, if the Florida schools wasn't a wake-up call, if A&T wasn't a wake-up call, then
thank you.
Then to coin a phrase from the movie JFK, there is dead as that crab meat.
And yeah. I'm telling you right now, Dell State is the next
one
to go.
I'm with Dell State.
I'm Michael.
Question, because we know that's something that has been a possibility. You called it. You said we would be coming to super conferences, and we're definitely on our way with that with Texas and Oklahoma flying out in 2025. But when we weigh all of this and see how it all spreads out, there's too much of an ego war going on in the smaller conferences. And this ain't got nothing to do with white folks. This is about blackheads messing up and getting their own situations compromised. Hold on, because they can't agree to aggressively go forward. That was right from the jump. Ed O'Bannon's family should get broken off, just like Kirk Flood's family should be broken off for everything that was done to this. Because it really was O'Bannon that laid the foundation and the EA Sports case that laid the foundation for them to have to go to NIL. They knew they had no recourse to do nothing else but adjust and adapt. And they're doing that. But they're going to find ways to counter. Because you know when they do these things, they already know that there has to be some compliance.
But see, Mike, here's the thing. Here's the thing, Mike. The NCAA is basically doing what the MEAC has done.
Yeah.
Instead of embracing the change, they're talking about their mama going out the door, and that's all well and good, but in the long run you're going to wind up being toothless. Now see, the thing is, the MEAC can still be saved. The MEAC can still, as ugly as it looks right now, the MEAC can still be saved.
Is the Aunt Esther ugly?
Aunt Esther having Shabba Ranks' baby, yes, it's there. Matter of fact, Wanda the ugly woman is actually watching and taping it too. So let's just get all the way. But see, the pressure's not on the schools. The pressure is on the conference. It's on the conference. And let's face it. Now, what is it? This is the second. For the second or third year now for Hampton in the Big South, right?
Third year.
So for argument's sake, they've had three years to get this right. And they're still trying to play spades, with Stevie Wonder. Come on now.
Thank you. And guys, I was at the MEAC media day, and I was already told off the record that Dell State is the next to, if things work out, to go. Number one. Number two. The sad thing about it, when at the media day, I mean, it was nice seeing Jay Walker and the young lady there. But the media coverage in the area was pathetic. I mean, after everything was over with, the commissioner and his people, they had a little conference there. But it really wasn't no media there to really cover them. I mean,
Reg, to be fair, that's on the media, folks. That's on the media, folks. I mean, I get it. I understand. That's on the media, folks. If to sort of coin a phrase of what Dion said a couple weeks ago, where y'all at?
Yeah.
Where y'all at? Because, see, it's been, look, I get it because
I can't
the pandemic. Well, no, see,
right.
The thing is, end of the day,
yeah,
you know, we're all, you know, for the most part, all of us here on the thread can really dictate to what we're going to talk about, how we're going to talk about it, and who we choose to talk about. That's
sure.
on us. Now,
yeah.
If Aspire wants to go to the Freaknik, and instead of going to say the SIAC Media Day, or say, that's on them.
Yeah.
That's on
true.
Them.
Mm-hmm.
See, for even for all the BS we give the mouse,
they were there.
They were
even all the BS, give to the newspapers that cover them, they were there. See,
yeah.
The thing is, now we have all said, and rightfully so, that a lot of times they only get press when things are bad. But here's the thing: what is the And again, I'm biased. We're all biased here because we're sports guys. What is the one compelling damn thing that you're doing now that would keep you away from going there? Think about it. What? I mean, you're not at the Olympics, you know?
Yeah.
You don't come, you know. The thing is, and this is the thing that sort of makes it crazy, you know, we talk about how there's a bad bougie attitude towards sports amongst the black folks. But see, here's the thing. It stretches to part of the quote-unquote media. Because, see, here's the thing. People don't realize the death, the real impact of the death of John Johnson, and the fact that his daughter literally handed the keys to the kingdom to the enemy.
Come
that's,
on.
You still really don't understand the impact of that, because if nothing else, if not for whatever, Ebony, Jet, all them other places, they were always there. It was never a question as you never knew. It was never a question of if Ebony's going to send somebody or if Jet's going to send somebody or if whatever.
Yeah,
now, is the MEAC a little bit culpable? To a certain extent. But end of the day, these guys are sitting, and gals are sitting in their room saying, okay, what are we covering today? You going to the,
quick, the Big South just totally disrespected Hampton and A&T. I mean, you look
but you
at
know
the
what? But you know how they're going to get their revenge, right?
Oh, yeah. Whoop that ass on the field.
Make it hurt. As a former coach of mine said, make it hurt, y'all. Make it hurt.
That's right. For the next hour, you can do whatever you want to them motherfuckers. Beat the shit out of them. Exactly. But when it comes to our press,
whoop that ass.
When it comes to black press, though, that is sorely lacking, because they don't see it that way. I work for a black paper. I can tell you, they're so busy that they can get pennies in ad revenue before they think about content. They want to make money. I'm not mad at them for doing that, but as far as priorities are concerned, that priority is very, very low. They don't give a shit as much about whether or not FAMU is playing certain games up there and you got X number of Rattler fans or Rattler alums living in the area. No, even though they're aware of it, they have the numbers. No, their deal is, I got to get these ads in for Boscovs or whoever, department store, whatever revenue advertisers they can pick up on. They don't care about that because they didn't bother to aggressively go after it. And that's true of many of the black papers. Even though we were trying to get the Tribune with being part of the NNPA as far as being their sports arm, they gave me hell when I tried to cover the draft on the Tribune's nine, on the Tribune stock. The only reason I got in the motherfucking auditorium that night was because somebody who was connected to me knew me and stopped the gatekeeper from fucking things up. I got in the door because of that. But I told the Philadelphia Tribune, that bitch looked at me like, Yeah, and so that's the problem. And if they don't understand that, if they don't tell the story, and I give the professor this because he always says we need to tell our own stories. That means every black paper needs to be out here making sports an important part of their beat because it drives the revenue train. They can say what they want about whose drawers are on sale at the Cherry Hill Mall, but the bottom line is that you got to have a reason to pick up the fucking paper. And when you pick the paper up, there better be something in it worthwhile, especially now. So all of this stuff spills out in a lot of different directions, but it really keeps us away from understanding the real issue. You know, the game's changed. How fast you adapt to it and adjust to it, that is what will dictate how well we get along. We know as college football gets closer and closer, there'll be lots of teams and stories will come out about Darryl's kid gets $1.5 million signing on. He's going to be the starting left tackle. You know, Gary Gray's daughter signed up. She's going to get $1 million plus for being the captain of the volleyball team. So we know it's going to happen. Now, those figures may be inflated, but you get my idea. NIL means cash. I don't know how much cash, but it means cash for these players who are confirmed as de facto employees of the institutions that they represent. And ultimately, it's going to be about money talks and BS walks. So you have those two factoids put in front of you. Put your money where your mouth is, HBCUs, and once that cash is out there, it better be spent well with performance on behalf of your employees. Because ain't that what we're talking about? These kids work for the school. Saturday afternoon, they're working. You know, Saturday afternoons in the fall, in the winter, they're on that court or they're on that honey guard plantation. And they churn it and burn it. I mean, am I wrong here?
Absolutely not. Well, see, look, I'm always reminded of a quote by, of all people, Joe DiMaggio, a few years back when he was still around. They asked him, you know, Joe, if you was playing now, you know, how much would you make? He basically said he would go up into me and you about to be partners. Because, see, here's the thing. And see, the thing with the HBCUs, let's face it, the old ways. Let me pull back a little. Some of the old ways that they've been able to make their money are not there anymore. So you literally have to be led kicking and scratching into the 21st century. And the thing is, and again, I'll say it till I'm blue, black, chartreuse in the face. The very white folks whose altar you worship at are doing the same damn thing. Please don't tell. If you truly think the Dukes, the Stanfords, the Northwesterns of the world aren't using their athletics to push product, then allow me to uninsert your head out of your ass because they're doing it even more so. Look, there's always going to be folks that's going to think of Duke as a higher degree of education, but there's always going to be somebody that's like, I can't stand them Duke boys, them arrogant little bastards that's always playing basketball. But see, that's the thing. Now, in that instance, literally and figuratively, good news, bad news is good news because it's the sort of thing where, well, if they're talking about you, you must be doing something right.
There you go.
See, the thing is, even talking amongst each other, and that's again, you cannot blame the white man for that.
Let me ask this to the thread: if everybody on this thread has a child, just thinking hypothetically, the child is ready to go to college, they're all athletes, and in addition to their own book worthiness, now they're going to go into a situation where it's a what you want moment. Darryl, start with you. You got a kid ready to serve. They're going to be playing on one of the sport teams. Now, it's not a recruitment, it's a courting, because they got to convince you that your kid is going to be successful at their school, and I mean successful in all those ways that matter.
Okay.
As a consumer, what are you looking for now to hear the school say to your child and to you and your family when it comes to whether or not they're going to make that move and sign their John Henrietta or Henry on the dotted line?
Number one, I'm going to ask, as a child major, what's your program about?
Mm-hmm.
What's your doctor program about? What are you going to get?
Those sound like mandatories, G. Darryl, what are you going to ask?
First of all, I'm going to tell him, stop. Let's just cut to the bullshit. Like,
mm-hmm.
You know, you want something that my kids can provide to you. One,
right.
If my kid gets injured mentally or physically,
hello.
What's the stipulation in the buyout?
Mm-hmm.
Two, all right, I want you to protect my kids from whatever local police authority you have in this area.
Yep, I like that.
Three, beyond that, if and when he does accomplish something, what's the benefit to him? What are you going to leave him? Beyond that, or her,
mm-hmm.
beyond that.
Yeah.
So what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
If I can't answer those questions, then so be it. This is not going to be a one-time affair, so I'm going to go old school on that. This ain't a hit and quit. So if you're going to
mm-hmm.
get down, you got to be willing to commit, both financially and long-term. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, I don't want another degree, but if I decide to come back, that kid's going to be so valuable to you. What do you offer?
But you're
to
right.
Me?
That's right. No, you're operating from a position of strength, which is how it should be. They want you.
Yes.
You don't necessarily
right.
need them. Exactly.
Yep.
Right.
Tony, what are you doing? What are you going to ask or not ask? Or what are you expecting?
Now, this is regarding my individual kid, I guess.
Yes.
I want a full not by month thing. Give me 4 years. If you can't give me four, give me two.
There
but
you go.
You're gonna give me, because see, I figure if you go in there and ask for four, they may give you two.
Mm-hmm.
Because, but see, they got to realize they're in, you know, there's just as much competition on the field, off the field,
yes, it
as it is
yep.
on the field. We see every other day
yes.
where somebody's, you know, signing a whatever, you know, deal down the
that's
road.
Right.
And look, if nothing else now, anything and everything is above board now. So
mm-hmm.
in a sense, could see, let's go. Now, take advantage of this.
Exactly.
Take advantage of it.
Exactly. This is that. This we Dallas had doggy dog. As far as all that's concerned, no. These are all questions an educated consumer is supposed to ask. Reggie, in addition to everything that's been said, what would you be asking or telling the so-called recruiter who's trying to woo your child to go to their school? Reggie, are you there?
Nah, I must have lost Reggie.
All right. Well, then, having said all of that, we understand now that as consumers, they want our product.
Hey, Mike, can you hear me? Mike,
now
can
I
you
hear
can
me?
Hear
you. Yes.
Yeah, I had the phone on mute. Now,
that's okay. So
run that by me again.
Everything else that I've taken, what would you want what would you want from the recruiters to ensure that your kid goes there and gets what she's supposed to, what he's supposed to get?
Well, see, again, guys, the CIAA is already not quite as said, but if the numbers keep going up, they might have to cancel the season. The football, I'm talking about. Homecoming, I don't know what the school's going to do. But I can tell you, Elizabeth City, last 2 years ago, had students that were on the coaching staff. I know that for a fact because I was at the state game, and a couple of students were sitting there, were the basic coaching team. And the head coach was getting a part-time salary. These schools cannot afford a major outbreak, even among the students. That's why a lot of them are going online. So as long as you got the clown, the governor in Florida who acting a damn fool,
he ain't acting.
Thank you. He's a damn fool. He's a fucking assassin, as far as I'm concerned, the people that are dying. And then that clown from Arkansas made a comment, they the governor, well, maybe I misspoke. Maybe I made a mistake. You goddamn right you made a mistake. And people who look like us are the ones that are paying for it. So right now, our HBCUs, the smaller schools, are in a trick bag. If they had the season and have an outbreak, they fucked. If they don't have the season, they might lose players. So all I got to say is Commissioner McWilliams, she got her hands full.
We got to also consider this because as kids are coming out of high school into college, there's a luminous figure in the midst of all this, and that's the AAU coach. Many of those cocksuckers don't give a shit about those kids, and they woo them and –
It may not be on the same sort of level because in basketball to a certain extent is a little high profile. Let me back up on that. It depends on where you're at, but it's being done. Trust me. You know, they did the other day with Ohio State. You know, they said he's already got stuff. Now, look me in the eye and tell me that his AAU coach didn't tell him that his AAU coach ain't getting a cut from that.
That's right. And that's only because their relationship is supposedly copacetic. But I submit to the court as Exhibit A, a scumbag coach who got dived out and the truth about what was going on at their academy and how kids are being led along, led astray. My brother, all that good stuff.
The Nation AAU program virtually held a monopoly on giving top Maine high school basketball players out-of-state exposure. But several former players who have spoken to WMTW say his pattern of improper behavior was unbecoming of someone working with young athletes. By her sophomore year in high school, Emily Russo was one of the top college prospects in Maine. Seeking to help her exposure, she signed on to play for Mike Woodbury's girls program. She says she and her teammates were threatened with degrading language.
When this video surfaced, your first reaction was?
I said, I hope today is finally the day that, you know, he's just done. It's, like I said, this was 13 years ago for me, and I have heard about a lot of the things that have gone on over the years since then, and it's very similar to what I experienced.
In November 2015, Woodbury was involved in an altercation with a parent at an AAU event at Southern Maine Community College. A spokesman for SMCC says the college banned him from using the facilities, and South Portland police confirmed they filed a no trespassing order preventing him from stepping foot on campus for a year. Russo says physical encounters with a coach occurred.
He bit my face once. We were sitting in between games in the bleachers, just kind of talking, joking around, and I kind of made like a good jab at him. And he grabbed my face, pulled it in, and he bit my cheek. And he did that to a few other players as well over time.
Russo says she and her teammates were also verbally abused.
He would call us sperm banks. We had an African-American girl on our team, and he told her if she didn't start playing better, there was going to be a hate crime.
Taylor Shildroth was an all-state player at George Stevens Academy in Maine, but never played AAU basketball in Maine for Woodbury. but attended Woodbury's Nations Christian Academy, hoping to continue his career in college. Until yesterday, when he withdrew after the video surfaced.
Didn't want to be associated with that, and just the things that were said were obviously terrible, and that's not anything I believe in, so I felt like it was best for me to get out of that situation.
As an AAU coach, players pay to play and are not bound to the team, but oversight of AAU programs are scant. When contacted, Woodbury referred WMTW to his attorney and provided a list of players to speak on his behalf. Chuck Maturo had two sons play for Woodbury. He told WMTW he was harsh, but if he wanted to work hard and get better, there was no other place to go. Another player said Woodbury helped several players out with family or financial problems and treated them like family. Woodbury did not accept our offer for an interview. His attorney, Josh Tardy, said Mr. Woodbury denies that he has ever been physically abusive to any player. He is proud of his work in Maine basketball. In the newsroom, Travis Lee, WMTW, News 8 Sports.
Meanwhile, I submit to the court Exhibit B, as this cracker-ass cracker is busted, and Donovan Mitchell of the Utah Stars was one of a couple of players who wanted the truth brought out about this parasite, Mike Woodbury. Indulge me for the next 3 minutes.
The Nation AAU program virtually held a monopoly on giving top Maine high school basketball players out.
Excuse me, we're readjusting the audio.
What was this conversation about? What, me disrespecting you fake fucks? Just get out of my face. Take your broke asses. I'll say it again. Your broke asses back to the fucking the garage. I don't want to hear shit from you. Bottom line. The next thing I hear from you, get the fuck out. Just walk the fuck out. I don't give a shit. I control transfers. I control where you go next. It could be back to Haiti, motherfucker. That's how easy it is for me. You don't want to... I'm the one thing that you don't want to cross, and I'm the dirtiest, baddest motherfucker on this earth. Like, because you don't want to get on my... First of all, you can't get to my level. You can't. You can't. It's like I said when I came out and you tried to get out and coach Liz and say you're going to fucking... I'm going to show you this, and what did I tell you? I'm going to send your little... Shut up, stupid ass. I screenshot. You know what that's called?
Okay.
What is that called, fuckface?
I don't know what that's called.
It's called extortion.
I've never seen
it. It's called extortion. I have it on a text message,
you
dumb motherfucker.
Show me.
I screenshot it.
I never say if you don't. If you're not doing
exactly.
Good for me, I'm going to never that.
Yes, you did. It says it.
Hey,
it's
all good.
It's called extortion.
Look, it's all good.
This is what I say.
I don't care.
This is what I
say. I don't care.
And they say,
I don't care about what you do.
Hate your
broke ass
facts.
I don't care about what you do.
So stop. Just zip this. Stop talking. The rest of the thing, you're
nah.
Never, no, you're done talking.
Oh, I'm being there.
Done talking.
Stop
talking. You're still talking.
When
but
I
just
there,
said, stop
I
talking.
Say, we're going to make sure
just,
we clean
just,
the rooms shit.
You're done talking.
That's what I'm saying. I've
you're
been
done.
Done talking.
Stop talking.
I've been there.
Stop, because now I control everything. I just want you to really know that.
You control
hey,
what?
I'm going to fuck you in your ass the next time you talk out of line. I'm going to take everything from you. And let it be known. I'm saying it out loud. I'm going to take everything from you. I'm going to end everything you've ever had. And then I'm going to show that, right, that you one text message that you put at 18 years old to the head of a school on stuff you shouldn't have had, on personal property, that you took a screenshot and then you sent a text to it. Mm-hmm. Look up the word. I know you're retarded, so
yeah.
take one of your friends and have them look up the word extortion for you. And if you need some help spelling it, right, maybe
right.
Simon can put it on fucking Word Check. Just stop talking. I'm a bad motherfucker. You crossed me for the last time.
Okay.
So don't talk ever again.
I just said okay.
Just, that's, I want you to understand. That's just, all of you, get out of my face.
Now, I'm sure you hear the level of invective delivered by this cocksucker.
And is this guy still coaching?
Listen, this was brought out into the fray by Donovan Mitchell of the Utah Stars. He texted on Twitter that Mike Woodbury, and I'll say his name again, Mike Woodbury is a cocksucker, and y'all just heard a sample of the shit he's doing. The AAU coaches have, in certain regions, unbelievable power. And we know there's always abuse where there's power. And ultimately, you had this cracker tell you, I'm God. I'll do whatever the fuck I want to you. How many players have had their game politicized, minutes taken off the board, opportunities to play stolen because you don't want to go along and play the damn game with the coach who's doing whatever they do? And I'm not even talking about X's and O's. This is straight up bullshit. This was something that was passed on by a coach in Washington, formerly at the University of Washington, named Jim Lamprecht. If you remember the name Corey Dillon, you remember Dillon was a pretty good player. He transferred to UW and was running his ass off. I mean, he set all kinds of records there. And then there was a situation where Dillon had an opportunity to pass their all-time white boy, Hugh McElhinney, in yards rushing. He went insane. I mean insane, like amazing in play. Dillon rushed for so many yards and caught the ball and scored as many touchdowns as one could likely do so in the human factors of the sport, to the point where he needed only 13 yards. 13 to pass McElhinney and become their all-time leader. Now remember, he's a junior transfer. They sat him down. Now, they didn't just sit him down because they were being good sports and the score was, you know, the game was in hand and all that shit. No, they didn't want him to break that white man's record. Then comes the draft. Dillon decides to leave for the NFL. Lamprecht is trying to talk him into staying and says, you know, we can do this, we can do that, and whatnot. Dillon's like, hey, you know what? You helped me. I helped you. It's all good. Be happy for me. And that cocksucker Lamprecht put the poison tongue on Dillon. And he went further down in the draft than he should have, because everybody was agreeing that in that particular year, Corey Dillon was a top 10 pick. Well, of course, he went further down. And he may have gotten the last laugh, but he managed to get a Super Bowl ring or two after putting time in Cincinnati. But my point is, this is what these fucking coaches do. Some of them are certified scumbags, which is why we like the HBCUs, because we know, at least we believe, that the coaches are there to offer something of value besides running a fucking football field. But the poison that came out of this man's mouth, and what we've seen before from other coaches, some we have maybe even experienced ourselves regarding politics and shit that ain't got nothing to do with fucking football, that's poison. That is what needs to be addressed. That's what NIL is also threatening. So a lot of these motherfuckers can't gorilla no more and try to mow motherfuckers into thinking, you got to do this my way or you don't get no run at all.
You know, well, look, think, you know, now, again, like I always say, these are the ones we know about. Think of all the nameless, faceless other cowards that have been getting away with this for years. You know? And see, here's the thing. If you think they're on the small, if, you know, we know they're on the big level, but see, again, that guy there is a wannabe.
Yeah,
he wants, you know, he's a wannabe. And the thing about it is, he actually thinks that, you know, that he wields some power, and maybe he does to a certain extent. But see, it's about a lot of these MAGA folks. They're finding out now that, you know, go ahead, talk loud, please talk a little louder. Talk a little louder. So then, that's my thing. Cause see, here's the, you know, what comes out in the dark, damn sure comes up in the light. There are, put it this way, there are roaches that come out, there are roaches that run fast enough in the light and the dark that can catch these guys. Mm-hmm. And that's what this is, because see, you know, we've always said, you know, in a sense, college sports and like big time basketball and big time pro football, it was for the longest time, it was the last bastion of slavery.
Of slavery, yeah.
Take this comment for what you want. NIL is basically Juneteenth.
That's right. Yeah. Come on.
It's basically Juneteenth.
That dollar makes you want to holler, because there's a kid there who before he signed up had nothing in the bank account. Now he's got seven figures in the stash. Money don't play. Money talks.
What was it? First thing, y'all will get the shot, and we don't give a damn how you do it, because if you don't get the shot, you will forfeit the game. And when you look at the revenue that comes in from parking and also concessions, somebody say, hell to the no, we got to keep this train moving.
You
look at the defense miracle down with Alabama State and Alabama A&M. They got the TV. You got the Florida Blossom, as Professor talked about. You know damn well by hook or crook, they're going to make sure that game goes on in the state of Florida.
This is the price of doing business now.
Pull that off.
That's right. This is the price of doing business. I liken this to, we got the professor in the mix, I liken this to a racetrack where before they were only having smaller prices because there weren't people investing. There was no interest for the owners or the trainers or anybody else. Now they've got a full upgrade. There's a casino next to where the track is. All of a sudden, that 7,000 claimer is a 25,000 claimer. And now there's more money going in. That's what's happening here. And because they don't have animals to deal with, they got to look at this differently in terms of how their bedside manner may be.
Yeah.
We know
I got to congratulate the professor on Chris Paul getting his 4-year, $120 million contract.
And well, I'm happy for Chris Paul right now as well. I'm talking about this, and I really want to stay focused on this. So as far as I'm concerned, let's stay with this, please. The bottom line in all this is that now these kids know they have to come as informed consumers. Their parents have to come as informed consumers. So now we get Professor into this mix. Professor, you heard both of those statements made by the scumbag coach to women's athletes as well as men's athletes. You know, I'm sure that's not the first time you've heard something like that. But when you hear it out loud, live and in color, how does that make you feel?
How does it make me feel? I don't feel nothing. I'm used to this.
Mm-hmm.
This is business as usual among people who think they're football or baseball or basketball or track and field or, you know, or kiddlywinks. They think they're guys.
Yeah.
And because something that we talk about quite regularly, and that is people don't know because they don't try to know. They just think, they believe he said, and that's it. No. You know, these are people who, for whatever reason, know more about what goes on. What was that stupid show you used to come on? Where the black chick was screwing vice president or something. Anyway.
Scandal. Scandal.
Okay, they knew more about Scandal than they did about how to elect a president. They knew more about Scandal than they knew how much, you know, who was next on the ballot as the president and the vice president. Why, so they didn't even know that you both actually for the president and the vice president together. Because realistically, the vice president, they don't know that. Why? But they don't try to know. They know what they want to know. And so when you get situations like this, this man who was talking, who was too belligerent and all that other stuff you want to call it, he was saying what he was saying because he knew. He knew the game. He knows the game.
Yep.
And he knows how it's played from both ends.
Mm-hmm.
He knows I can talk to people in a nice, calm, loving way. And I can have the same effect as a Hickok or a McClendon or Irvin.
Yep.
Bond. You know, the same thing with Eddie. Yeah, because I sound like they do, you know, they'll take my word over their own child.
Exactly.
And see, you know, when Earl wanted to leave Winston, and Gaines called his mother, explain to your mother why you want to leave. Guess what? Earl stayed because his mother did stay. But the deal was he was dealing with a man who had, one, had integrity, two, who knew what the hell he was talking about, and
right.
He knew what he was going to do to make sure that this young man in 4 years got his degree to the point that when he won a national championship, he got the money together to send his father along with Earl to take his teacher's exam. That's how he went all the way with it. And at the end of 4 years, guess what? Homeboy had his degree. He had passed the teacher's exam and was ready to go. He had the NBA not worked out. Fortunately, NBA worked out.
Mm-hmm.
And back then, you know, it was less reliable than it is now. He had what?
Yeah.
16 teams. 10, 12 people per team. And hey,
mm-hmm.
you know, but see, because parents don't follow up and follow through, because it was like my stepdaughter was going to this, wanted to go to this this camp.
Okay.
And she was invited. But then mm-hmm. my thing was, if you have been invited to this camp, and they want you there so bad, then they you don't have to pay to go to camp. You
exactly.
go to camp, and they take care of you while you're there.
They take care of things. That's right.
And, as you know, when Steph was explaining, like, oh, so I should be able to go free based on my talent. I mean, you know, when you're in the top three in your field in the state of Virginia, where she was living at the time, if this is your field and you're out front like that, hey, you shouldn't have to pay for diddly squat.
True.
And once we got that in our head, and she said, I should be doing this for free. Guess what? Them people who were sending her them invitations and all that stuff and saying, well, you know, it's going to cost you. You know, homegirl learned how to make airplanes. That would
mm-hmm.
fly from the table across the kitchen
yep.
into the trash.
Mm-hmm.
Because she started understanding. We will make her sit down and read stuff about these camps, about
yep.
camps in general, then about these specific ones. And at the end of the mm-hmm. day, you know, she would tell you now, I ain't paying nothing. You going to pay me? Yeah, you want me to come?
Right.
Okay, what's in it for me? And, you know, that's how it was. But, you know, it takes a while. It's taken a while for parents to start. I mean, we're dealing with this within my own family right now, because we got a 14-year-old who's almost 6'6", who can shoot the lights out. And
mm-hmm.
I've already told his mom, well, I told his grandmother, he lives in Charlotte. Go over and get on the phone. He's going to the ninth grade. Get on the phone. go over, talk to either Coach Steve Joyner Sr. or Steve Joyner Jr. You don't want to ask, I don't know them. You don't have to know them. Tell them I told you to come talk to them. That's all you need.
Yeah.
So, you know, were they going to try to recruit them? I said, no. When I said, you tell them I said talk to you, get you a list of questions that you want about stuff you want to know.
Yep.
And let them sit down. And I said, they'll do it as a favor to me because I know them.
Yeah.
I said, you know, I said, you want to go out to Winston-Salem State? Hey, let me know. I'll get you the number. We'll get you. You know, I said, we can get you talking to whoever. You want to go down to North Carolina Central? Because to her credit, his mother and his grandmother have all both pushed, okay, you need to go to a black school because you can get basketball anywhere. I said, you know, hey, you want to go to Durham, talk to Coach Moten? Not a problem. I know his boss. I know his assistant boss. And I know half his staff. Plus, I've known him almost 30 years. So, you know, we got the, you know, we you know, and see, parents don't use this kind of contact. They look at stuff, I don't know. Well, what do you know, okay? Look at what, you know, look at it from the perspective, okay, I know how certain things work. And if I don't know how they work, then why am I putting my child in it when I don't know how it works?
Yeah. No, I agree with you, Fred, and that's a great point because too many times there's not enough information apparent to make an informed decision. And these are the type of things that should benefit us because it is about benefiting us. You know, you want to know as many things as you can possibly know to put your child in the best position to succeed. We got Eric Satterwhite on the phone now. And also, Eric, I played a couple of videos regarding a scumbag coach named Mike Woodbury. And that shit finally came out about him. And Donovan Mitchell also helped throw some stuff into the pot. It was the type of venal, vicious crap that we've seen before. We saw Phil Martelli's kid in New Jersey say the same evil shit and do shit to players. Players that he knows would kick his ass if he did not have that position in front of him. And the AAUs, once again, are flaunting and using their ability to do damage mentally to these kids and rob them via politics or whatever to affect their future. And good evening, everybody. Forgive my manners for not jumping in soon.
We know you from the north.
Gee, thanks.
Greetings, everybody. So that was Utah Jazz, Donovan Mitchell?
Yes, sir.
That you're speaking to? Okay. Yeah, all right. So yeah, I did hear the language, and so I wish I could say it was surprising because it isn't. And so many athletes, as they're alleged, would be on a manhood level exceedingly disappointing in character and ethics when you realize what they tolerated and how they compromised themselves to get a check. And it's always a misnomer saying that the golden goose is the money, you know. If you read articles, you know, that sports were built on prior times, sometimes they mention the contract. But where sports became enamored with many people was the science behind it, you know, the preparation, your game, how you've seen the game, the spirit of competition, and the trade-off was you was getting paid. The money-first mentality is just pure poison. And at all levels, it's a poisonous angle. And having been around, you know, many millionaires, you know, I always used to joke and say, yeah, I have rich friends. So being around, you know, that level of thing and getting those 3 a.m. phone calls, say, hey, yo, E, you busy? No, what's going on? Say, hey, man, I got a situation. Right? You know, and they trust you in the sense that they can't go to dinner. They won't go to their agent because it's politicized. They're not going to talk to their team. But there's another angle that's happening that they're not adjusted to deal with oftentimes. So they have trusted emissaries. That created the so-called posse. But you know, listen to that tape. That was just basic buck breaking, period.
Yep.
You know, I mean, he literally said, I'll sodomize you. And there was no answer, no pushback about that statement. That in itself, to me, everything got shut down. Anything said afterwards, any conversation around that, it's basically, he said, dude, not only do I have your manhood, I'll further take it.
Yep.
And it's just no way a person who experiences that level of vitriol would never be undamaged. At that point in time, no telling what else you've done or did compromise yourself. You know, we talk about, you know, Riverside Church, you know, in New York City for years, you know, especially in my area growing up. That was the go-to, right? You know, that was like the creme de la creme. Even though, you know, this gentleman named Sandy Pione, and people can look him up, out of New Jersey, who, you know, was a guy that raised me up in the AAU, who was totally legitimate, still going. He's probably got about 50, 60 NBA players under his belt that he raised as preps. Mm-hmm. But he's not considered on the Riverside level, right? But that's called the New Jersey Roadrunners, so people can look it up. And I mean, it's exceedingly impressive. And, you know, this was a wiry Jewish dude that just loved basketball, went into the communities and hoods. He would come pick me up every Saturday from where I live, 50 miles round trip, you know, every week in like clockwork, right? So that was the legit side. But at that time, you know, Riverside was going, and it was owned by a rich Jewish lawyer, Riverside Church, yes. Yep. You know, Adam Clayton Powell, right? You know, and other things that we can talk about. He used that whole moniker and thing, and he was sodomizing players. And he was sued, and he died, you know. And there was a number of NBA players, again, when people do the research, they'll see who was associated with, again, Riverside Church, and coaches who were associated with that. And it's just no way. And there was a prominent, you know, I don't mind even saying it, Kenny Williams was a really good brother. You know, he was last director of scouting for when Johnson owned the Bobcats at the time. And, you know, he's the one that, you know, we had a conversation. He said, hey, Johnson got his bare bones in the scouting department, you know. So he was also an Iona assistant coach, you know, with Valvano. And he then followed Pat Kennedy, who was also Valvano's assistant, went to Florida State. So Kenny was really good dude, you know. And he worked with Riverside forever. And Kenny could kind of legitimize it because he was just that kind of guy, you know, that did certain things. But, you know, he passed. He ended up, I think his last job was with the Grizzlies. He passed not too many years ago. And I always would wonder to myself personally, having coached, having been intimate with things, you know, what level of information did Kenny know? It's kind of disappointing to even consider it, you know, personally. Mm-hmm. But that's just facts, you know. And there's a lot of affiliations because of people wanting to be caught up with this glamour thing. One professional sport, I can speak to basketball pretty clearly, that has very little transition with jobs are professional sports. People don't leave those jobs.
Yep.
You know, they're in those organizations forever because, what, it's only 30 teams and all the media attention is associated with it. And, again, you know, the contracts and all that glitter crap that's just all surface stuff. It's all it is, ultimately. Who won the NBA championship in 1995 without Googling it? No one knows. Off the top of who played in that team. Shit moves on, but character doesn't, you know. And, you know, going back to being raised, you know, Fred and I, you know, we've talked about it, being raised in a character-centric environment, sports was just a tool. It wasn't the as-or is, I'm going to compromise my dignity, my manhood for sports. So there's some of the greatest players in all activities that never got a chance to even shine were ones who never compromised.
Yeah.
They didn't play that bullshit game. You know, Chardet and Anita Baker don't play Holly Weird. That's why you don't hear from them. They can do their thing and they bounce out. They're not going to go out. They're not going to do and have their face a shit night with they all up in the video because it comes with a cost. Yeah. It comes with a price. Mm-hmm. It's not a freebie. All of that shit. So unfortunately, so many of these individuals, and even some that we can, you know, that I've heard praised, you know, in our environment for athletic exploits are highly, exceedingly compromised. But it's not my place, knowing what I know, to call them out. Well, no, why should you do that? Yeah, everyone has to do their own level of research. But we give power to inadequate heroes that children follow, and then they want to compromise that. This guy talked to the dude like, you are nothing. You have nowhere to go. Basketball is the only – basketball is all you'll ever be. And
that's right.
Unfortunately, in his disposition, you know, and this is a question people don't want to answer, was he right?
Mm-hmm.
Was he right that this is this person's only option? And dedicating your life, they breed this system. People go
That's
through
right.
the breeding network of the system. So there's so many players. People will share this old saying in pro sports, especially around basketball, literally. It says, I never disliked basketball until I started getting paid to play basketball.
Right.
Because all the compromises and selling out that goes on in that environment, I mean, people are just shredded. Kareem stood up for many years, ostracized, disenfranchised, not liked, pushed aside, you know, considered this, that, and the other, because that was the world in which he dwelled.
Right.
And he wasn't really that apt to play the game based on so many life experiences he had with racism, you know, the thing that took place at his house, you know what I mean, you know, under the Muslim sect scenario that took place, the killings. And there was another associated tragedies that come along with these things. You name the athlete, we can talk about, you know, the situation that when they don't play ball, something happens. So, you know, so Floyd Mayweather, you know, great boxer, no question, right? You know, and he got caught in a situation of, you know, a domestic situation. They put him in the bing. You know, and some may say that was just he's getting outside of our control. We need to remind him who's running this shit, and then so he can go back to playing ball again.
Yeah,
they use every tool within their adversary now, and I can make in a lot of statements we make here. Right, we've never got pushback on. No one's ever come back and say, "Wow, that statement you made was really outlandish," because those who know what's being said is straight up, right? But it's always straight up at a level that we're not going to go into, you know, like fucking exhibit A, exhibit B about how we know this shit. You know, enough knowingness is good enough. But this, what you're saying, is atypical. It happens at every level of profession. I can remember this one gentleman was talking about Claude Humphrey, right, when he was with the Niners, you know, and I don't know how many years ago that was, right? And he said he didn't remember the Niners, the defensive line coach, right, but he said, you know, he knew Claude, and he was in a hotel, and I don't know if it was Claude Humphrey or Cedric Hartman. I think it was Cedric Hartman. Yeah, matter of fact, I think it wasn't Claude. It was Cedric Hartman. And he was saying that, you know, Cedric was, you know, big D, you know, defensive end. He said this little coach, Caucasian guy, dressed him down and talked to him at a level that, you know, he found just utterly, utterly abusing. And he said Hartman just sit there and took it. We watched on national TV when Bill Cowher is spitting in Greg Lloyd's face. Rush the quarterback. Right? Spraying all in this man's face. Not Bill Romanowski's side. Not Bill Romanowski style, right? To JJ. What was dude's name with the Niners? Stokes. Right, but I was on the field. This man watching the head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers with his top, alpha male linebacker rushing and killing and maiming quarterbacks. And he's getting sprayed on, literally. No way he did not feel that. Just rush the quarterback. Like,
that's right.
Listen, animal, fetch. Go fetch. This has been going on ad nauseum for years. I can recall in some, you know, coaches' days, and I won't mention who, in my collegiate days, where... You know, this coach was talking about these one players, you know, from, you know, the country, the woods, as you would have it.
Right.
And said, hey, son, you can't play a radio. And, you know, if you don't get it together, I'll get you back in home to go to the family for crop season.
Yeah.
And I just looked at this. I would have never taken that because, you know, I would have never taken it. But this has been going on ad nauseum since sports has been effing invented.
That's right. This is abuse. This is abuse, and it's sanctioned abuse.
The dude said he was sodomizing. He was buck breaking. He was breaking his buck.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
No way around it. And, you know, I mean, I've known cats that stole on someone at a young age when they heard that from a coach. And, of course, they never came up through the system. You know, they went to AAU circuit. They went all these different leagues they could play in, right, outside of the real league because they were like, yo, dude, they're going to play ball. And these cats could get it, man.
That's right.
They could go get it. You know what I'm saying? But they were not going to compromise that. And they felt better working construction, doing whatever. And they could go to a game and look at that shit and just and talk about how compromised these cats were. And I've had guys I know, you know, personally were in the league and, you know, many dudes, you know, and again, confidence. And they would always talk to me on the straight up and up and, you know, and about coaches getting dressed down by players, you know, who were considered saints by the media, who are Caucasian players, which I will remain nameless because I don't want to identify the players. But the whole thing being is, again, in those aspects, you know, some guys just lost, you know, utter total respect because they could see a coach just shred someone, you know, shred them verbally.
And to add to that, the media glorifies these assholes by saying that what they're doing is tough love. Fuck that noise.
Mike, the bucks were already broken before they got there.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly.
Right. I mean, Bill Cowher is spitting in Greg Lloyd's face.
Yep. Do you think Greg Lloyd should be stomping a butthole in his head? I would agree. But
Greg Lloyd. No. This is what happens. He strapped up his helmet and rushed the quarterback.
Mhm.
That's what he did. So when Scottie Pippen said Phil Jackson's a racist. Now, who would they? Were you? Have any of us ever been in that locker room?
Come on.
So I would take Pippen's words over anyone else because he has direct experience. Why would I not consider
exactly
what he says to be true? Fuck all the other stuff we hear. This is a guy that won a championship. He said, "Listen, this motherfucker's a racist." Scotty ain't on the pipe.
Hello.
Scotty hasn't been in and out the drug program.
That's right.
You know, and so he makes a statement like that. Now, just think about the ones who aren't so-called alpha. A lot of times these coaches only deal with their players when it's time to throw the rock up at the tip-off.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. I mean,
if they could avoid it in that way, they
would avoid
too.
That, too. You got that right. I mean, even the GMs. I mean, Harold Presley, right, Villanova? You know, Villanova dude played a few years. But Harold's, you know, Harold's really good brother. He's out here where I'm at, you know, and Harold's really cool dude, you know, really, you know, legitimate brother, man. And he was telling me, you know, well, you know, we were sharing information about one of his coaches, you know. And, you know, and this coach, right, could be an all-time winner. But, again, these coaches have all done similar. You see what I'm saying? It's nothing unusual. It's just the regular modus operandi.
That's right.
Period.
It is buck breaking. It is buck breaking. And I keep bringing up Martelli because I saw it. They had video of this cocksucker doing this shit. And he was like maybe 5'2" soaking wet, whatever the fuck it is. You know,
right.
He was the St.
Right.
Joseph's coach, a former St. Joseph's coach's son. And they're trying to make him out like, oh, yeah, he's a chip off the old block. Fuck that shit. He should have got his block knocked off with some of that shit that I saw. And this atmosphere, along with the two audios that I just played, this is content regarding how the business is right now. This is not people making changes. These are folks thinking their shit don't stink and they won't get caught. And by the time the cops come down on their ass, nothing's left to be said. It's done. You know, what do you mean? I haven't done anything like that. I have 30 people who can speak well for me. I guess you do. You get them to break enough back? Yes, you surely would have that many.
So remember, I mean, this dude's got the, but he has the inroad to the sneaker contract. AAU is ran by Nike, Converse,
mm-hmm.
and Adidas.
Yeah.
A player, if you're a top-notch player, right, you know, you're going to eventually connect with these person, and they know their bucks. He talked to him like he knew what was in this person's chromosomes and DNA.
Yep.
I own you. There's nothing you can do. Stop talking. I keep telling you to stop talking. That's total dehumanization. And this person was so one single-minded to want to play basketball. That's how they use you. That's how they abuse you physically.
Mm-hmm.
How did this athletic alpha male, you know, submit to this person? He literally told him what he would do to him. So he's already set the precedent, dude, you know, if you cross this bridge again, this is what's going to happen. And because you're not giving me no pushback, then you're probably going to submit. How can you say that would not happen based on what we heard?
There you go.
That is breathbreaking. This is these techniques and stratagems and psychological warfare are well researched. They're not accidental. That was psychological warfare. I've talked to many athletes, but I'm trying to find a way to motivate them and push them. And sometimes expletives get involved, but it's never to degrade. Right? This was total degradation. You have no humanity.
Yep.
You are my buck. I'm going to continue to break you. Rush the quarterback. That's always my mantra for that whole scenario. You know, oh, look at the coach. He's really letting loose. He's, you know, no, he's spitting in his face. He's telling them, listen, you don't have to think about shit. Just rush the fucking quarterback.
Yep. Yep. That's exactly right. You know, there are a couple of things.
Breaking 101, man. I mean, basic shit.
There are a couple of things I need to bring up so that everybody understands further the depth of this. Now, we know Simone Biles stepped off, and we know that she didn't finish the way she started. But that's okay. The problem here is what has been consistent with the media for years. And Tony and I, we talked about this briefly, but you know, when she made a statement saying she needed to step off, they were making her sympathetic to that. And it was all good. Novak Djokovic, tennis player, also playing in a single sport like herself, understood and yet still decided to go after him. What I found was interesting was they were like, well, you know, Stokes says he didn't say this, and so-and-so said he didn't say this. And even at Facebook trying to fuck with the content. But,
you saw that.
That's what I always believe. Karma might be late sometimes, but she kept missing a fucking appointment. And when Djokovic got to that tennis court and got his ass whipped and he channeled his inner Mackerel and really the stock hit, threw down the racket, cussed and fussed and all that shit, it was like, good, now shut the fuck up and go sit down. But it doesn't stop there. I was listening to the playback of last week's show, and I believe it was Tony who reminded me of Ken Griffey Jr. And everybody knows how great Jr. was, and, you know, and you're so bad that everybody just calls you Jr. and they know you're talking about. You bad motherfucker. But this happened to happen at the All-Star game. Forgive me, I'm not sure as of which year. But that year, Ken Griffey's star was smoking. I mean, he was hot. And he was taking batting practice before the All-Star game, and he's got his cap on, and he turns it backwards. And Biggie's Hypnotized in the background. And Buck Showalter is there with his cracker-ass cracker self looking at Griffey, smoke line drives everywhere on the field, and he's glowering. Why is he glowering? Did he talk about his mama? Did he tell him that he was a scumbag piece of shit? No. He's glowering because Griffey is hitting a baseball with his hat turned around. That's all. Got nothing to do with anything else morally. He's pissed.
Which I believe is a felony in 48 of the 50 continental states, but go on.
Exactly. But this is the kind of horseshit that I'm talking about when I say that these motherfuckers are so resentful of feminine. How many times have we seen how when they talk about how an athlete is so great, the game comes to him or her, and their effortless and their professional deportment and how they go about doing what they do, but they don't say it in thinking warmly about them or positive to them. They think about them like, I want this motherfucker to fail. I want this motherfucker to not succeed. I want him to strike out so I can talk about him. I want to find out something about if he's got a baby mama. I want to find out something so I can take him down. That mindset has carried on and has magnified in the last few years. And from time to time, it breaks the veil and goes into the public discourse. We know this to be fact. And Buck Showalter might know a couple of things about baseball, but he knows nothing about understanding black people. He may know everything about being a cracker, but he doesn't know a fucking thing about winning. Check his record. But I digress. You know, this is the type of environment that these players are in. So if players are complaining now, talking about they need a mental rest, you better believe they understand that they've been through so much that some of them really do. And it is PTSD to a degree. But I digress.
It's still butt breaking, you know, because what it's like if your language and your etiquette and your historical history has been wiped out and you don't have a fragment of knowing even how to find it, and then you can't stop, you know, what dwells in a person's, you know, DNA. So these people operate at a different level. They don't operate at a level of surface level or acceptance. Like people pursuing to be accepted. That was the whole concept, you know, of a HBCU thing. It was like, we don't give a damn about being accepted, you know, by your society. We know the greater than so-called society is set up, but we can, you know, with our excellence, we'll just show you with our excellence, and we'll just, you know, do it over a course of time. We won't push the ignition, but we got heart, we got courage, and we'll do it. Nowadays, if there's, you know, if a person puts his hat backwards and if someone feels, because they study your style thoroughly, another person would say, oh, look at Griff. He's got his hat on backwards. He's, you know, having a great time. Where counterintelligence may see it, oh, that joviality with the hat turned backwards, maybe where the seam of the hat aligns up with his amygdala by turning it backward helps him focus.
Come on.
Shit, turn that shit around.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
They get down like that. They don't look at it from that standpoint. I mean, I've been scouting studies at a different level and working. You know,
they can't. They don't want to look at it like that, Eric. You know that.
No, well, they do. They actually do because unlike, you know, it's kind of, you know, you mentioned that one thing about Richard Pryor, you know, going into the jungles of Africa, running up on the pyramids and seeing what the hieroglyphics look like. Now, these people have been studying our cultures at a level of access that would be frightening to most people. You know, I've been to Egypt. You know, I've been inside the Great Pyramid. I've been to the temples of Luxor, Abydos, Dendera. You know, and when I went, I'm like, you know, the brown face in the crowd. Yet, you know, there's hundreds of people from all parts of the world, and they are studying everything. And when you look at what I see, you're looking at ebony melanated faces looking back at you through ancient times. It's undisputable. It's just that visible. It's like us talking together and me looking at you and trying to figure out how come Elizabeth Taylor didn't play, you know, that role, right? It's bullshit. It's that visibly obvious.
Yeah.
I mean, to the point that I can't even share it to the level of the mind-blowing factor I would like to in the time we have, but I'm looking at who's also researching, and they've been researching this shit for centuries.
Forever.
They know your style. So you see, it's a whole Eddie Murphy movie, which, you know, people miss. I mean, and movies are interesting because everyone can interpret it at their level of intellect, which is fine.
Same thing with music.
You know, there was people who had no access to marijuana, and I joke at this with some of my, you know, wife's family members. They thought Mary Jane was a shoe. I said, a shoe? That's the funniest shit I ever heard. That's marijuana. But in their world, it was a shoe. You know what I'm saying? So they thought this motherfucker was thinking about some bullshit as Bruce Lee looking shoes and shit, right? And I was just laughing my ass off when we know that's what Nat Rick was thinking about. But again, you can interpret it your way. So my point being, in that interpretation, what they were saying was like the greatest mathematical minds and the greatest barbershop we can find that person on the streets of Philadelphia because we took everything away. We buck broke him so bad and got him so disconnected to his source, so disconnected to his DNA. But we know if we give him a taste, that DNA is going to come online.
That's right.
That
baby.
Was the, what that movie
That's
was
right.
about. Yeah. It wasn't about, oh, we're going to fuck with this nigga in the street and just give him a fucking job. They can tell this he's a master hustler. Yes?
Eric, it's akin to a new coach for a certain university in the southern hemisphere of the United States praising his white wife when he got a job.
Butt breaking. I mean, that they know they have broke that buck, right? They know who's. They know this shit. It's their business. This is what they do. Do you have access? Do you have access to the various, kind of like, say laboratories that have these access? No. I mean, who's in these labs studying this information? Who do you know in the labs, looking at this stuff, doing the forensics? Right, but they have all this forensics. What happens to all those young black males, especially in previous years, like D.C., Chicago, as they call it now, sitting and rotting in those morgues? What happens to those body parts? What happens to those kidneys and livers and hearts and blood? What happens to that?
Mm-hmm.
Now, certain people have access to that shit, so they know. So they can differentiate who is what in the community. Oh, this is just going to be your basic buck. This is the guy you're going to get out there. We'll set 20 picks a game. Just, get him a couple of grape sodas and hot dogs and shit. And then what they also do is flood him with sex. Flood him with a bunch of women. Flood his mind with porn. Phil Jackson told his team. Now, Scottie called him a racist. Well, I didn't play for Phil Jackson. Okay, Scottie Pippen did. But Phil Jackson's on record as saying that to his Laker players one year, I don't know which year of his Laker run, he said, all you guys are interested in is, porn and playing basketball. That's your only interest. Okay?
Unbelievable.
So, exactly. 11 championships, Phil, right? And Phil has done more psychological studies at elite university. When you dig in the crates on Phil Jackson's background, what he studied, and sophisticated programs, which may be affiliated with mind control, just saying.
Yep.
It's there.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah.
I digress.
It is. Patrick, can you hear
me? Mike, he ain't lied yet.
Listen, we know now that the name, image, and licensing is going to go over the top. There will be some who will benefit. There will be some who will get the shaft. And I'm not talking Richard Roundtree. But I am talking about the possibility that adjustments will have to be made with regard to doing business. Patrick, I think you might have something to speak with along those lines. Please, come on in.
Gentlemen, as they always say with the church, say, ow.
What's up, fam?
How's everybody doing? Good.
Hey, Patrick, I like those pictures I sent you, man. You like them?
Yeah, man. Yeah.
I had to lean on the shield, bro. I was leaning on the shield.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is Patrick Pinoff Farrar, not Eddie LeBert.
There's a couple of ways to go with this, but this particular incident comes in twofold. Let me give you the one. You guys just were talking about basketball. Let me give you one in basketball first. There was a particular coach. I'll give you the name of the coach. All right, and once I tell you the name of the coach, you'll go, oh yeah. That recruited a player recently, and the player was wanted by several teams across the country. I said okay, but he had a option of someone giving him a great deal of money, like $1 million. And the coach that recruited him in high school said, you know, this is the way it's going. But the coach recruited that one of them college to play with him said, no, we can't play with him. We're not taking you. You're making too much money, and you're not making more money than me. That was Jim Boeheim. Jim Boeheim had a guy that went to Syracuse. I forgot the kid's name, but he got $1 million deal going into high school. Boeheim said, I'm not taking it. Away. Guys, you ain't seen nothing yet.
Of course. You are so correct. You are so correct.
Here's the second part. That's all football. In football, I've been telling you about the Buckeyes had we started practice today, and there's this kid out of Texas named Quinn Ickes, number one recruit, you know, drop back quarterback. Everybody wants him, all right? We got him. State got him. Now, he's in his senior year, and he really has, like, 7 credits to go to graduate. They have been 3 major companies that want to spot him in high school, but there's a law in Texas to say that you can't do in high school.
Correct.
They just talked to his parents and said, well, damn, let's go Ohio State, and Ohio State's taking this kid with 7 credits to go to high school already. You're going to see more of that coming also, particularly when you get 8, when you get top 10, and the Big 12 merger, and the purposes of that, guys, it's just beginning.
Yep. It's set to fail. You're so correct because, you know, when you've been boots on the ground in that environment and you have a player publicly known and may not even be able to play, to quote that one coach, may not be able to play a radio, right, hasn't played a down or participated. And because scholarships are basically year to year, you know, and then if this person feels they've already made it, got the money, I don't have to go to class, and they academically are ineligible.
There you go.
Right? It's just so many ways to just cut that down. Because it's just not going to be this wide open, you know, take the finger, NC2A. The NC2A knows that. It's just that it really takes the level off the threshold of suing schools or restricting schools from participating for illegal funding. And still there's no – with all that being said, if you're a coach, you still can't take your player out to Starbucks for a friggin' coffee.
That's true.
Right? So it's just so many unbalanced perspectives of this is just not going to be this alleged money corrupts, man. You know that. We know that. We've seen the changes with people who don't know how to handle dough. They call that new money. You know what I'm saying? I mean, money corrupts, man. I work with people on the financial level on a regular basis. And managing the dough is complex.
It is.
To people,
it
right?
Is.
And they run into all kinds of scenarios. So to be money-centric – without the character to support it, then it's just fluff, you know. And I remember O'Bannon's younger brother, Charles O'Bannon.
Oh, yeah.
You know, right? You know, yeah, Charles, you know. Yeah, Charles, good brother. But you know, he played with the Pistons, and he said that he hated the Piston version of himself because he got that contract, and it effed him up. And it does that to many, many, many people. That's why money becomes this kind of albatross around their neck. And remember, that's another form of buck breaking under the guise that we're helping you, but not. So play, I've shared this many times. You were in the NBA draft pick, and I hope the brothers, you know, I mean, took my advice and, you know, bet the top 3 draft picks last week because, I told you I tried to break them off and shit, you know, that they was going to go this way. But I'm joking there. But moving back to the draft. So a guy gets drafted. Draft night, shit's all hyped up. Woohoo, you know. And the interviews and shit. Okay, then they fly to their city. So, you know, we'll create a franchise. There's no franchise in what state? Fucking. There's no NBA franchise in. Yeah, Wyoming. There we go. Thanks, G. They sign with the Wyoming Werewolves and shit. And then they go out there and, they go out there and they have the press conference and shit. And they got that jersey on and the GM present, do the introduction and shit. And then all that's done, the first person they introduce them to, this is your realtor. when you're ready to buy a house or you're renting a house or lease something, this is your person here. If you need a vehicle, we have a sponsorship with this dealership. Before you buy a car, they'll lease your car. You just have to do some free advertising with them, maybe take a few pictures and shit. But you go there, hey, here's your tailor. If you don't have, you know, one of the players, they like to use this person as their dress code. Hey, reach out to them. They can make you suits and shit. And it's that, oh, before you go there, talk to our trainer because, yeah, we're going to do your training, but we're going to associate you with these next four doctors that can do these assessments for you. There and you then go. Here, so already they have found 10, 12 ways to put that contract they're giving them into the economy. Because what happens with a contract in the economy from the financial standpoint, so a guy signs a $20 million contract, right? The taxation associated with it, the revenue that may be spent with that contract, they're going to actually put, over a course of time, $40 million back into the local economy, state and taxation-wise, even though they signed for $20 million.
And Eric, first of all, your points were taken because none of them know about anything about a 1099 form. None of them.
Exactly.
And what you said is a line. You're exactly right in terms of what they do when they bring them in. I did it years I was in the front office of who to go to. It was kind of changed a little bit when I got there. It was changed a little bit where guys wanted to get their own people. As a matter of fact, I think I told you a story. I would sit down.
Peep game. So LeBron, you know, comes back from, I think, the bubble. Yeah, the bubble, right? And he buys this, $20 million house.
Yep.
Whatever it may have been, right? I mean, which is, again, he can do what he wants, right? That's his free will. But guess what? You know, the way I see it from my standpoint, was the realtor a brother or sister, or were they Laker affiliated?
Yep. Well, that happens.
You know what the fucking commission? You know I know it happens. You know what the commission was for that realtor?
And I give a perfect example. When I was covering the team when Jason Kidd got in there, and I adjusted the team, but I was still feeling the team, but there was some other stuff. But I was unaware of the fact that people have to have at any time and still do it have to have schools consultants. Because so many guys at the time wearing basketball jerseys. What's the practical plan thing? The guy, he came from Kansas. He got a new contract. This nigga brought 100 NBA jerseys, and that's what he was wearing. They assigned him a clothing something because he didn't know how to buy a suit. And also Jason Kidd, when he left to come to Nets, a friend of mine worked with the lady that Jason Kidd selected, his wife selected, for them to go shop clothes in New York because they got cutthroat license. Also, they went to
right.
the that are not open to the general public. Nobody else can.
Hey, Patrick, I got a question for you. For the men that just failed to qualify in the men's 4x4 relay and China beat their ass out, how devastating is that for the men that dropped the ball like that?
Hey. You got a dude
from Norway, winning the 400 meters like nobody. The talent's everywhere, they say.
And the training is
everywhere. And melanin is showing up in all these other countries like Costa Rica, Ecuador. Women's and men's are doing some amazing things and breaking records.
Even the German runners was running past America.
Exactly. The brother from Italy won 100 meters and shit.
Yes.
I'm just saying, you practice that handoff hold up again in the relay and the nut up in the championship. I mean, something's not right with that picture. I mean, you got to practice the handoff.
So really quickly back to the focus of what we were going to. Freedman Shoes in Atlanta, right? Everyone's kind of familiar with Freedman Shoes.
They sell
the most stylish Bigfoot shoes. They've been getting a grip off NBA players since the 70s. Shaq goes there, he may drop $5,000 on one visit.
And so
here is Freedman Shoes, who's really the unofficial stylish shoe client for the NBA. So everyone goes to Atlanta, they're going to walk away with 10K of shoes. If not, they'll order them because they have all their sizes. and they just go there, they shop, they buy their shoes, but that's the NBA couldn't do it. Now, how many other people who may have a shoe store in the country, they can't touch that one?
Well, the only guy that was beginning to make the shift when I was there was the guy that I had just left the store when these guys had left us to meet him for the first time in downtown Newark. You recall when Bill Cosby had a show, and in the opening show he had these different color sweaters that he's pushing.
Yeah,
I recall.
Yeah. Well, that guy was located in Newark, and we were trying to work him to become one of the clients of the Nets. I had just gotten to the store to talk to him, and as I got up, I saw these guys loaded to the limousine. And go, who are these guys? So I went and met the guy. Says, oh, that was Vicky just left here with his boys. They bought about 15 of the sweaters, and they cost at that time about $200 a piece. At that time,
mm-hmm. No, I'm aware. Haberdashery, right? But you know, when you're going to get a guaranteed clientele of millionaires, come on, you already know.
Right, please,
every year.
Right. But the first part is this: what in my years on Wall Street, there's a guy, there's a brother who God should listen to, but they didn't listen to him. Who worked on Wall Street, but he had a consulting business. And one of the things he was trying to break into the NBA players, I was telling GM Bill Franklin, Bill, it's going to be tough because people have been hearing in these guys in high school. So by the time you want to get to them to talk to them, it's over. They want to make
correct. They already have their sources, man, prior to. That's what I was speaking to. That's in every city, every professional sports team, for every friend. Derek Jeter's realtor of buying, you know, Trump Tower apartment or wherever he lives. You know, I mean, that was affiliated through, you know, the Yankees.
Mm-hmm. And the truth was, here's a classic case. There's a guy that approached, a brother that approached Derek Coleman about doing something. And Derek Coleman said he could whoop the brother. Somebody said, well, because Derek was there when I was there. Derek said, the reason I can't work with him because I got a question to ask him. Where was he when I was in the eighth grade and in high school when my mother needed groceries? This guy was there. Are you going to come to me now? I got paid. So you going to come and see me? That's the kind of problem we got to deal with. And Bill was trying to get these guys to understand the basic element of the psychology of money. It sounds simplistic, but guys, it is vital to understand the psychology of money.
And the thing is, they've already have divided up who gets what prior to. That's why, you know, these agents have been ripping them off since Custer was a Boy Scout. You see it in the music industry. You see it over and over and over. And right now it's happening on draft day. It's this quick moment, and then there's Brokeville and all the problems and the paternity suits. But they were groomed to be vulnerable to the system because they were broken as bucks to get there. And that's unfortunate. A real hardcore brother moving through the lanes, free, independent, that can speak on their skill sets. I mean, there's a few of those, but once you get in that realm, it's hard to not get compromised. And there's certain athletes, they can't wait to get injured, so they don't have to sign them against because they pushed back a little bit. T.L., once he got injured, it was a wrap. Chad Johnson, once he got injured, it was a wrap. Allen Iverson, once he got injured, it was a wrap. You know, they're like, okay, we ain't got to put up with this shit no more. Their skills have dissolved, so now we can fuck with them. And they were so frustrated. They can't get signed. They can pick up. You know, and there's other stories like that as well, because you have to render unto Caesar. And so when you start talking to a person coming through the ranks, do they want to go that route? You've got a problem. And tell them about the ugly. And it's not the ugly. It's the pros, the cons, and then the truth. And then from that aspect, is this for you? It's like people, you know, I knew a cat, you know, wanted to get in the modeling game, you know. And once he's seen, you know, the chicanery, he said, fuck this shit. I can never compromise to do this shit.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Besides,
I forget when Walt Frazier came to the New York Knicks, and the first thing he did was went to a store called Blind Manhattan. Back in the day, to wear black, they were these alpaca sweaters. Some were adorned with leather, and they were very stylish in a 70s kind of way. And when Walt Frazier was walking down Fifth Avenue with his super flat hat and his black, the saturated collar, he thought he was something else. And a lot of people ended up buying shit. Not necessarily players, but a lot of them bought shit simply because he was wearing them. He was a New York Knick, and he was playing good basketball. That's how everybody falls to the spirit of Caesar. Because even the people who didn't have money were spending money to get a lot. And I'm talking about a sweater that's like $300 to $500. You know, there's nothing to it that's up with this alpaca. It was crazy.
And that's so true. There was this clown called Jacob the Jeweler, right? Remember this month? You know what I'm saying? I mean, what a fucking clown and shit, right? And, you know, he was doing other hip-hop artists. And this was a time when these NBA players were having these humongous bling, right? And he was their go-to. And there was this other brother, true shit, this is other brother, in Vegas, who I knew personally, who literally had family connections to the minds of people in Africa, right, who get diamonds. And the way he told me about how the De Beers criminalized and gangsterized fucking diamonds, those shits are common as broken glass in Africa. But how they routed to try to make it seem rare is some bullshit. And he, you know, wanted to link up with some players because he could do the same bling for Jacob the Jeweler for like 80% less for the same shine, but he was a brother, you know what I'm saying? But because Jacob had that inroad, he was getting some biz and shit, but Jacob was running the shit because how they filter, monkey see, monkey do. And that it's kind of like the Jordan brand, right? So all you see the logo everywhere, right? And it pops up and people follow, even though Mike does not own it, Nike does, he gets his cut. They give him his cut, which is, again, fascinating. He does not own that line. You know what I'm saying? And now it's everywhere. People, now we see it on boxing, Olympic gear, swimmer gear. You know, it doesn't matter the sport. You see the logo, the Jumpman logo.
You know, Eric, I'm always reminded of Ray Charles fighting to get him, to make sure he gets his Masters. Hey, wait a minute. Even Frank Sinatra doesn't get that. It's like, well, I'm going to get mine.
Yeah, I mean, and that's what happened to Sam Cooke. You know, Sam Cooke.
Yes.
You know. I want to use slang terms, but I'm not. I can't go there. The underworld, let me use that term. The underworld allegedly had the inroad on, you know, R&B, right? Duh. Exactly. And Sam went solo, and then he ends up in some bullshit out in a motel. And, you know, the city of Los Angeles. You know?
We all know that, you know, once Michael got the Beatles.
Same thing
and
with the Masters.
Was
same
trying
thing.
To whatever and everything. Oh, he became public enemy number one.
And you know what? And to that point, there was a court case that literally said he got murdered.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Right? And the point of the matter is, it's like because of, you know, all the other sidewinder shit they put on the brother, you know, which those I know, I know a brother, I went to high school, worked with his father, Joe Jackson, you know, and we're not going to get in that topic. We can be here forever, but, you know, the fabrications of the tale is what it is. But the point of the matter is, it's like that empowerment. He refused to buck break. In his later years, the programming broke off. I mean, you know that Earth song he sings.
Mm-hmm.
You ever hear the Earth song?
Yeah.
Now that's a little shit.
They don't care about us?
They don't care, screw me, Jew me, you will never use me. I mean, you know, especially one when he's in the prison. When he's in the prison. Prison video version. He's in the barrio of Brazil. Oh, Mike's too elite. He's an elitist. That motherfucker is up in the motherfucking barrios of Brazil. You know, and they banging them drums and shit. Yeah.
The flip side of this is, for someone who's seen this and has some guidance that has turned his career with his second career, contract is almost $600 million in value. That is Steph Curry. Steph Curry said in 4 years, $215 million piece yesterday. I think that's fabulous because of that. He's not giving the money from the other side of folks not knowing what to do with it. And the other thing, this one guy from Memphis yesterday, I don't really know who he was. He got $172 million. I barely know who the guy is. You know, they threw up money on a free agency like government. Some deserve it.
Oh,
But it just shows you the value of the league on a global platform that's close to. Well, Steph
has a, you know, $250 million skill. You know, I wrote an article about Steph a while back, you know, about, you know, well before he was, the MVP year, because people just cannot figure out. I mean, basketball is a skill set game, and basketball primarily is putting the ball through the net, and there's never been anyone who could shoot like Curry or never will.
Yeah.
Curry can do it in the game. He can do it in the contest. I mean, he can do it at any time. He can do it at the clutch time. That skill set he has is absolutely abnormal. His radius of vision and the fact that his pineal gland is activated where he can dial in his visual command set to make a 45-look shot appear to be a layup. And that trajectory and the arch and the kinesiology of the flow of his shot, no matter what body angle he may appear on, it's almost like he's firing off a archery shot, like a bow and arrow, right? It's just purely elasticity. You know what I'm saying? So when we start getting into the real breakdown and shit, and that's why these other players that start shooting threes and shit, they do not have the eye vision this brother has. He has night vision. Yeah, he has night vision. He has night vision goggles on the basketball court. It's just straight perfection. And the only way you can do that is to execute that from your visual cortex and then have your physical body follow through with that kinetically, all in one smooth flow, and then be able to do it in any arena. Now, most people shooting in high school gyms can't shoot in a pro arena because of the visual aspects. The background's too far. There's no wall there, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this person can shoot at any level, any place in the world with that level of consistency and do it under difficulty, do it in traffic, do it under physical duress.
And he's a game changer. And that's why he has almost 600
men now. No one can duplicate it, though. The problem with Curry, you can't be Curry. You know, you can dunk, you can get to the rack, you can work on your drills. Definitely become a better shooter, for sure. But you can't be Steph Curry because he has the genetic gift of his father being a 30-point. So he already has the downloads. So what happens, interestingly enough, oftentimes, because you have the downloads, doesn't mean you can activate it. He has quadruple activated that process, which is fascinating to watch from my level. And the other thing is, too, he plays below the rim.
He also has the expectation level.
All fundamental. Beautiful to watch.
He shot at a different rate from everyone. I mean, we've seen guys like Andrew Toney shot 50% for his whole career, but he didn't shoot from distance like Curry does. From every logo in the NBA, he has just taken the whole concept of percentage and maximized it in such a way.
Mike Duke can go to practice. Yeah, in practice, he's known for making like 200 shots in a row from distance.
Yeah.
In other words, that focus and that being able to streamline that and just be able to literally operate like you're the only one around and you're shooting a layup. No, that's a rare skill. So Curry has the genetic predisposition and the skill set and the mind, and he's light and leap, but from a coaching standpoint, you just love to watch, you know, play because you can be a dynamite, dominating MVP championship player by just maximizing your fundamentals.
And you said something very important. Very important. You said something very important. That really attracts him a lot of white kids don't play above the rim. He's
correct.
Below the rim.
And he's not super fast, but his handles, his eye vision, his coordination, and he plays with a joy. He plays like a little kid joy, and it's authentic. It's not bullshit. You know what I'm saying? No, I'm listening. I was done.
Okay. I was going to say, can you imagine if Steph Curry was playing in the ABA during his
heyday? Bring it up.
They made fusses about Rick Mount and Louis Dampier and guys who were shooting.
Exactly.
On their best day in terms of average. Can you imagine Steph Curry just lighting shit up, playing for any ABA team and hitting the average that he's hitting now? That team would have been included in the expansion plans along with the other four teams.
Mike, the only guy I know that shot like that, close shooting like that, was Calvin Murphy.
Thank you.
Pistol Pete had a great line about Cal because, Pistol Pete put in a lot of work. He said, Calvin can't walk his poodle to his left. So Calvin was one go to right and your cat, but he was super quick.
It.
But I tell you what, the only person that can come close to representing, Steph is when Clay was healthy, Clay Thompson. And I watched Clay get 37 points in one quarter against the Kings. You see that?
I
was physically there. When you watch these two, if you love basketball and the aesthetics of the game, when you watch these, when the so-called Splash Brothers, when they get it going, that is some shit. You know what I mean? Because they are bombing, man, and they are bombing from this. And the more hype the crowd gets, will not turn down their bombing. They will not get caught up in the frenzy. You can't force them to take bad shots. Klay Thompson, I think they did a stat on Klay Thompson. I think he scored, I want to say 60, but maybe 50, by taking 8 dribbles the whole game. It was all catch and shoot.
Yeah.
62 points.
Yeah, it was all. He's all catch and shoot, and so Clay makes a great statement about Steph. They're both sons of NBA players, right? And so Clay made a statement where he said, "I never thought I'd ever be on a team where someone could shoot better than me."
Yeah.
Uh huh.
He found out.
I mean, Steph, man, he can shoot in contests. He wins those 3-point contests. He can shoot in games. He can shoot clutch. And last year, the season he had where he was getting a lot of MVP roast, he was putting it in, man.
You know something? Somebody put something on Facebook. I comment on it. They told Mr. Clutch. I would have liked to have seen Jerry West with a 3-point. Because Jerry West could shoot. Jerry West
could
shoot.
As good as Jerry was. See, that's the fascinating thing about Curry. You can arguably say that, NBA level, there's never been a better shooter. The stats overproof it, right? And so we know that. So all the great shooters that ever came along, no one has ever shot like Curry. No one.
Yep. That's true.
We can say, but who does Curry remind you of? Nobody. There's other players you can say remind. Oh, LeBron a little bit Magic. Oh, he plays a little like MJ. He plays a little like that. There's no one that plays like Curry.
Nope.
That's why I said that $600 million is worth that he's gotten is well deserved with the dynamics that are not the trend in which people are aligned with playing basketball today for the most part.
Yeah.
Just a very unique player with an awesome skill set that's rare as rare can be. But Steph's a little bit different, man. I mean, you're looking at a person who literally has lasers between his irises. And the fact that he can transmute that intellect into the physical execution of the drill and won't let up. If he gets 10 threes, he'll try to get 20.
His evolution is what it is. It's evolution.
Right. It's a whole nother level, man. Whole nother level.
He's a generation up from his father and his father himself.
And it just takes care of his money.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not on
which we like even more.
And 18 cars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well,
we like
fuck it.
Even more.
Hey, man. I mean, yo, you know, do what you want to do with your bread and shit. All the bullshit we've been through in this fucking country, so fuck it. You know, there comes a point in time that, I doubt he'll fuck it off like my man Mike Tyson, but that's all good anyway, because Mike's learned some real values as a result.
Yeah.
Let's just say I can appreciate the fact that Jacob the jeweler ain't doing
that motherfucker
among the brothers.
Oh, that bitch.
Because kick that bling bullshit to the curb. Because you know they're there only for that short amount of time. And
he got caught up in some shit, right? Didn't he get caught up in some federal thing?
Yes, he did.
And that's why I appreciate this potential of the NIL situation in college right now. You got some kids that if they're smart, if their parents are with them, if the people around them are smart, they have ways to safeguard their situation so that all they have to do is be paid for what they were supposed to come to fuck the school in the first place. I mean, all pretense out of the way. If it's one thing if you want an academic degree and all that stuff, yeah, fine, to work for it. But if it's one thing to go there, you know, all right, your talents may take you to the next level, fine. Go there and get some, get compensated. Give back your skill. So it's win-win. Both sides are happy. You do what you got to do. You step on and you move on. But you know.
There's an organization, Mike, there's an organization called Oversight. I think it's Oversight that's aligned with about 30 colleges to help individuals who acquire those kind of resources so it can be aligned with and keep it. It's been sanctioned by college presidents and universities.
Yes.
They're not on the cuff. Or some agents going to take the stuff and just outline what you do and where you should go, what you should do, and what helps them with that.
Well, you hope there's better information, man, because as we well know, man, you know, I mean, the cheese, hood rats always follow the cheese, and unfortunately, in so many cases, the everything elevates as you elevate. So the level of chicanery elevates. The level of deception elevates. The level of just fucking usury elevates, right? And oftentimes, too, it's that person right over your right shoulder and shit. And that's where so many people get ganked with, as we know it. So few get through.
What's that? Jenny Green, got the Troy guy last week. He did something that makes me nervous. They got a shot at him last week at the draft, and he had his gold. He had the chain on, and he just showed the chain. I'm going, bruh, somebody to talk to him.
Are you talking about Kay Cunningham?
No, yeah. I'm talking about Jay Green. Jay Green, the kid from California.
Oh, Jalen. That's what we talked about Jalen a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, Jalen, gotcha.
Man. Brother, put that.
Just so y'all, you won't get all nervous. It was announced about a week, about 4 or 5 days after the situation was changed for the players, that the ACC/University of North Carolina/ACC/Power Five schools are going to set up this. That's going to provide information to players so they will know what's what and what the kind of situation they can get involved in, they can be involved in, so they will come up and get involved in that will cause them to be in the NIL now. I thought I'd say that just so you all mind what you said to me.
Yeah. Well, real quickly to Jalen Green. So Jalen, learned to play the game in Madera, which is a farm community literally outside of Fresno, right? So Jalen, it could have been a little, TV gusto shit, but Jalen has a head start on other draft picks in the sense that when he came out of the prep school, out of Napa County, after he transferred out of school, Well, he went to the D League because he would have been out of high school. And so he signed for the max $500K. So he's already been getting broken off and paid already. So he's already had his experience of getting some dough, you know what I mean, playing a few games and then entering the draft. So it may have been some little draft night, you know, happiness, this, that, and the other. But I'm really, really super, you know, rooting for this young man because this is one of these stories where he didn't really come through the true AAU machine, right? Mm-hmm. Because he came through, literally learned this. It's one of these friggin' wholesome stories, in a sense, from the basketball standpoint, how we learned the game and literally the farmlands, agricultural lands of Central Cali. You know, and his skills were such and his dedication was such. A single mom, believes she may be of Asian descent, per se. And then his father was non-involved, right? And then his coach stepped up to develop at a very young age, and he went all in. But Jalen, you know, from the NBA standpoint, he's ready. He's got to work on his D. But he's going to be fine. He's going to do, you know, really well there because he's had that, you know, down-to-earth background. But you know how it is, you know, once you start getting the loop and signing the Ben contract, everyone
the target,
becomes
the target gets bigger.
And that's anyone who joins the league.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And what guys do understand, we know it, but I'm going to be more specific. The Hoochies will find you.
Isn't that big time from He Got Game? Yo, J-Man, Chris, he going to be calling you, man. What you going to do with that, man?
There are women out there who are as specific and detailed and find these people as a broker trying to find the right guy. And they will find you. I have
the so-called Instagram model and the OnlyFans model.
Oh,
yeah, that's fucking bullshit.
There's going to be more than out there for everybody to take a shot at. But I want to pick up on Fred's point because what he mentioned sounds like what any business would have in terms of a benefits offer. So in other words, if I wanted to know what vacation time I had coming to me after putting in so much time, they would be able to tell me what I can do, what perks belong to me, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm speaking loosely on it, but that's what it sounds like.
And shout out to Fred. Fred, we did some business, Fred. Somebody is interested in your publication. I want to see if they're not upon it. I'll leave it at that.
Say what?
Somebody's interested looking at your publication on the black football players. Uh-huh. I hear that somebody I know in the league like it. Oh, it's like this? I said, yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's like that. Good deal.
Here's his number.
You know, they made it like that.
That's how we do it, and that's how it should be because we have all these liaison and links we talk about how they network, right? You know, Mike gets drafted, you know, by the Philadelphia Eagles. Shit, they got him hooked up with the realtor, the tailor, where he get his groceries from, his massage therapist, you know, person that he can call late night and shit if he needs a sandwich. Mm-hmm. All that shit's linked up, and he's got to pay as he goes. There's no freebie.
That's right.
So if we got a brother here that got the skill set and talent, and he's pushing publications, it is a fucking crime not to push that intel whenever you get an opportunity. A crime against humanity.
That's right.
Yep. That's right. Absolutely.
The way around it. Yep. So much jealous bullshit that happens about who's going to get the props. I mean, it ain't a brother here that if they wanted to play ball and be part of the buck-breaking system can leave this shit and start, you know, dropping intel on one of these fucking networks. I get pushed up on all the time. I refuse to have dialogue. You know what I'm saying? Because it doesn't intrigue me. I enjoy building with the brothers because in having our conversations in an organic fashion, not looking for no fucking cut. It's just what we do. Mm-hmm. As long as the information shares and spreads, and it does really rapidly, beyond our expectations and what we even think we know, we just get a little filter here that pops that shit sounds like the tree. Oh, look at that. That sounds like the tree. Oh, damn, fuck. They definitely got this from the tree. You know, the universe will just create situations for you to find the information. That's how it works for me. I never look for the shit that, damn, didn't we just talk about this? And that's how it works with major networks, major cachet. that other cis can't get because they know what's being said of facts. No one pushes back. No email boxes. Yeah, that was some wild shit you said about what it really. But the ones who know it's truth beyond doubt because they know it's reality and it's done in a fashion that we're not trying to out people or have a fucking gotcha moment. But yes, I mean, if Brother Fred's pushing information and he's dialing in and there's an opportunity for the brother to get some book fucking sales and someone mentions that and I sit there with my damn hands under my fucking thighs and shit and act like that doesn't exist, that's a crime against humanity.
That's what good producers do. Find stuff that ain't nobody else got that can be seen. And just like there was one today on CBS. This brother, his five brothers, pushed a book on Black Boy. It's about a book about Black boys growing up. But the way it was produced, they talked for 10 minutes without any interruption. Usually a piece like that segment, they might do a 4 minute. They did 10 books promoting that book because, in fact, a good producer and I guess Gail King was there to let them do that.
Yep.
So the situation, what you're saying is we got to get folks who can put out stuff that's genuine and said something that we already know the other folks think they know.
Correct. It's so basic to me. You know, it's just so it's so friggin' simplified and shit. Because I know we were talking about Olympic basketball, last week about the winning streaks and who should go college or what's happening with Popovich and that squad over there. Well, and how teams are. Well, the 1960 Olympic team, real quickly, was West, Robertson, Jerry Lucas, and somebody, Walt Bellamy, right, and a whole host of other really outstanding players, right? And they did lose a game. They did lose a game in an exhibition. They lost to a John McLendon coach Cleveland Piper team from the National Basketball League. That was the only loss a USA team experienced. And then when you look at that historicals, the reason why the Cavaliers even appeared in Cleveland was because Coach John McLendon coached the Cleveland Pipers to create that interest, and they won a championship that first year, but scrimmaged the Olympic teams, and that league was called the NIBL at the time, and the league had such respect that many people at the time were able to play on the Olympic team as well. Matter of fact, Patrick, since you are Ohio State alumnus, then you of course you know the historical. Larry Siegfried, played on that team, under Coach McLendon, as well as, Dick Barnett, this and another. But they won a championship, and that was the roots that created the build-out for the Cavaliers. So the first championship team was not the Cavaliers. It was the Pipers, and that team also beat that Olympic team with West, Lucas, Robertson, and Bellamy. There was eight others. They considered that to be the greatest Olympic team until the Dream Team came up. For that time frame with all the Hall of Famers that they had, but they did lose, and that's where, again, was that ever pushed? Did Coach McLendon run around trying to, hey, you guys are forgetting about me, or people pushing who played on that team? No, that knowingness and that knowledge is their power, so they don't have to prove shit. But we'll use this forum here to give them the shout-out they deserve that, again, no one talks about that is a historical fact.
Eric, you also know that after Coach McLendon coached that team, he also coached internationally, which actually laid the foundation for the eventual coming out of the Russians in 1972 when they beat the
Correct. From
the United States.
Correct. And Steinbrenner, again, was the madhouse owner at the time.
Yes, he was.
At the time, he didn't have the power because Daddy Steinbrenner was still living, and Daddy Steinbrenner wasn't cutting those checks that he was able to do later. But when Coach McLendon did something that we talked about this in the past, where he told Steinbrenner, there's two places you can't be in the city of Cleveland, my bench and my locker room. You can go anywhere else, but those two places are off limit to you. Who talks like that?
Yeah.
I mean, who has the character and courage and is not a broken buck? And when Steinbrenner was, doing the Steinbrenner stuff, the meddling, he left to become the GM or quote unquote director player personnel, and who replaced him? Bill Sharman, who ended up coaching the Lakers to the longest winning streak in NBA history. So it took a dude like Sharman to follow, exactly. It took a dude like Sharman from Celtic great to follow a coach like John McGlinden. And where do you hear that the shadow of this man is such and great that these legacy names that people know about are not even contended, because those brothers were not buck. They were not going to be broken. They stood on their manhood at the dime, and over the course of history, their talents were not going to be denied. And here we are in 2021, literally 60 effing years since they won that first title, 60 effing years before he became the first quote-unquote black head coach of a professional basketball team, talking about the legacy that people can research, look up, and will, and read the books, and will, and he's more popular now and has more awards named after him now than he did then, but during his lifetime, he never tried to push my face all up in the video marketing. I'm going to get paid. I'm going to get a chance to do it. That's bullshit. Because where the fuck do you stand as a man?
And Eric, on top of that, here's what makes it worse for folk in media, is these guys who don't know anything past 1980 that are now in the prime positions to promote the stories that they promote. I mean, it's disgusting. And this is why I told you I couldn't get the job. I took the opportunity to do the job basically because I knew this young guy, 30 years old. You know, wait a minute, man. He was intimidated by the fact that I knew more than he had a perception. I knew more than him. I said, no, this ain't gonna work.
Patrick, to your point, they have no idea. That's wealth. See, what we have here is just this incredible level of wealth. Now, we're dealing with a 60-year window of time, but when we start thinking about our great cultures in ancient times, we can go back, in some cases, the way things keep carbon dating backwards, maybe a million years backwards. So to bury that legacy is what caused, you know, all the bullshit, you know, and all the distraction and all the, you know, things that have taken place. But now with this shift and everything taking place, we can speak about these aspects. There's a huge interest in what we talk about. And I share this, and I know like other brothers share, because it's important to me that a legacy that people were not pursuing, had no interest in, you know, just said, fuck it, you know, I'm going to stand on my dime. I'm not no clown. I'm not here to do tricks. I'm not going to do some dance on a fucking piano when you tell me to do a damn jig. I'm going to just base myself on the credentials on what they shared to me. But I know that it's my duty to share whatever aspects we can along those lines, because it continues to expand. But that's the wealth that we have. So we just keep disclosing all these gems, all this richness of historicals that are lived and realized that can't be duplicated. That is your true real wealth. The money follows, I'm bouncing. Go ahead. I'm listening.
I'm going to tell you what happened recently. I had to shoot I had to do some video work and stills on the Jersey City Public School Summer League, you know.
The Jersey Shore Summer League, did you say that?
Jersey Summer Basketball League, which has been doing like Kool-Aid without sugar. Because in fact, it is. And it's systemic to a lot of cities. When my man told me this, I didn't believe it, but it's true. They are now just pockets of athletes. They're not going out playing ball like they used to. Now that's another old story. But there's a young man that in the city schools is looking at possibly being recruited. And he had a picture that for the young man of some old conference speakers. And the picture was two ball players. And one of the ball players was Oscar Robertson, and the other ball player was Bobby Dandridge. So the guy says, well, I know about Oscar Robertson. Who's this other guy? I said, Bobby Dandridge is one of the killers in this league. Where are you going to know the name? No, he went to HBU school. What? I said, boy, you got your Facebook on there. You got a phone. Look him up and look up the school. I said, it might be a school that you might be interested in. My whole point is to get the fact that these young kids who are on these teams looking for the schools, hey, look at the sizes, places that they put in your face that might give you an opportunity where you can develop your skills.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. And that's a great point. You mentioned Dandridge because, you know, during the finals, NBA finals, right, you know, not bad, huh? Not, you know, not bad viewing. It was pretty competitive and shit to get some frame. Matter of fact, it was a 32% increase in viewership without LeBron and shit. So, you know, NBA was like, damn, we can make money without LeBron. But long story short to that, seeing an image of scanning the audience, of seeing Kareem sitting with Oscar Robertson was like crazy priceless.
That was wonderful.
Right? Yeah. Because their legacies of what they've done over the courses of the career and what they've endured in, at a high level of incredible excellence. Yeah. It took them 50 years to remotely come close to what they did back in 71.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and the fact that they lived to see that window and was able to sit back, and they were chill. They were just sitting there like, man, look at this bullshit we're watching, right? But the good thing was, you know, to see, again, the historic. We have to honor our elders. We have to honor our legacies. We have to honor our historical.
And
we do a poor job of that
Eric,
shit.
And Eric, on the heels of the NBA's 75th anniversary, I hope the folks in the front office get this shit right. Cause
right.
For the most part, the 50th wasn't too bad, but again, I just hope that what I'm always fearful of is that they make things too contemporary, and it's
hype,
not to
take anything
to take anything away from the folks that are playing now.
Of course not. We've never done that.
But see again, if I hear another LeBron versus Michael argument. I'm gonna take out the exhumed body of Wilt Chamberlain and beat every fucking person with it.
I mean, you know, you're so right because again, some of the best ball players when the league had 18s were in the Eastern League.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, John Chaney was a killer, man. He was a killer ball player.
Yes, he was. He was.
You know, I mean, he played in the Eastern League. You know, Sonny Hill, you know, again, you know, long-time family friend with my dad, right? And, you know, Sonny keeps it 100, right? Sonny keeps it 1,000, right? No buck breaking for Sonny. You know, and, you know, I mean, he talks about, you know, Chamberlain's greatness, you know, all the time because he grew up in Wilton, Philly, and, you know, all those different things like that. But John Chaney, man, you know, I mean, we know he coached with a real, you know, strong iron arm, so he wasn't going to fit that modem, but he was a phenomenal player. No way he should not have been in the NBA during that time, but they played the quota game.
You know, I hate to say this, but I'm going to say it because, unfortunately, I think it's going to happen. I think it's going to happen, and it's diabolical to me to say it, but I got to say it. Somebody, I wish I could, wish I had the ability to do it. Somebody needs to do a documentary on the life of Sonny Hill and basketball in Philadelphia and what it means.
Yes.
That man is not a book. He's not a encyclopedia. He's an iCloud of information of what basketball is. But because he said he wouldn't buck to the CBS and all the knuckleheads, the Musburgers around him, they can't appreciate what he knows about the game.
I can stand Musburger because of him.
Well, you know, and back to legacies again, where how shit blends. And this is wealth again. I don't have to word it that way, but are so abundantly wealthy and rich and experienced because I know to a lot of people, this is sound like some Forrest Gump shit about all the connections, relationships, associations, but it's all linked to the same chain and it's all fact, right? And so when you look at, I'm watching this thing, you know, coming out of, you know, Sacramento, this California Classic NBA Summer League thing, you know,
that's
that they're televising and shit. I'm watching this, you know, thing, you know, what have you. The creator of Summer League officiality for pro players was the Sonny Hill Summer League before the Rutgers.
Yeah. There you go.
You know, the Rucker was tearing it up. You know, Wilt would go out there. Where did players have to get a chance to run? So you got Wilt and Julius, you know, the great doctor, playing on the fucking asphalt. No air-conditioned gyms like I'm watching right now. They're in the Kings Arena, and people are sitting back ordering Top Guns and shit and twirling souvenirs. Them brothers were climbing fences and gates and shit to watch Julius go ham against Joe Hammond. Super Joe Hammond. You know what I'm saying? And these other brothers from around the way that could really get it. What's homeboy that got caught up in the drug game? I don't know why I'm not thinking of his name right now. Damn. But he played as a Rucker forever.
Joe Hammond?
Who was it again?
Lloyd Daniels?
Joe Hammond?
No, not Lloyd. Not Super Joe Hammond. What's the brother with the big fro that could put up, put up a hunt?
Pee Wee Cuts?
What's his name? I can see him right now. I believe I can't. As many times I've seen his brother play.
Williams?
No, he got caught up in the drug game and refused a contract with the Lakers.
Earl Manigault?
No, not the GOAT. This is some bullshit. I can't think of homeboy's name, man. But he went to Virginia Union for a minute too.
That's Pee Wee Kirkland.
How the heck that slipped? Now Pee Wee Kirkland was giving the business, man. He played in like a prison league, and at the time, let's face it, brothers could ball. They got caught up in some shit, but they could still play. He was getting like 100 in those leagues. There's a brother there that he still ticked. He didn't get a chance to sign. Then Joe Hammond got caught up, in the drug game. The Lakers offered him a deal, but he told the Lakers straight up he could make more money in the street.
That's right.
It was a big – Pee Wee Kirkland was a major boss out there in Harlem back in those days.
Didn't Pee Wee get a PhD? One of those guys got a PhD.
Pee Wee was giving the fucking NBA players that showed out there the business.
Yes, he was.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, again, have we seen the best basketball players in the NBA as they present their brand? No, we have not. We all know. Mike talked about this, and it was very memorable for me. What was the sister that was playing the Little League and was killing it, from Philly, from Pennsylvania?
Monet Davis.
Monet, that was her name? And Mike said something that it just took me back to the time where he mentioned that we all grew up having a sister or a so-called tomboys. That's what they called them back then, right? You were right. We called them tomboys, but they were all girls to us, though. We didn't. There was no trend. There was no other verbiage other than tomboy, and it was a respectful term, and it wasn't degradatory at all, right? And we never called them outside their name, or you act like a dude, bullshit, none of that crap. But we knew some jocks out there, man.
Yes.
We knew that the fastest person in the neighborhood oftentimes was a girl.
Yes. My brother. I'm sorry, go ahead.
That's what I was saying. As opposed to now in cities, in certain cities, particularly my head, Jersey City, there are just pockets of athletes. At that time, everybody was playing something to the belt.
Correct. That's how we killed time. Four or five hours of softball games and bullshit.
Here in Jersey City, we have two beautiful ballparks, baseball ballparks. I said, they're well taken care of. And nobody playing on these baseball fields. I'm going, and when I was coming as a kid, there'd be in those parks now. And when we were playing, there'd been fights to get in them. Who gonna get in them first? Now,
that's right.
They built new outdoor.
It's the convenience. Bullshit now. Fucking Will Chamberlain was running up and down the blacktops of Cutshurst when that was the hot spot, right? Cutshurst Club. Upstate New York. Back then when he was a bellhop and shit. There's all kinds of footage. Will's running the fucking concrete. Kareem was throwing up those skyhooks at Rucker, Doctor was taken off from the free throw line on those assholes out there as well. And so now if you can't be in this comfort, convenient, air-conditioned gym, you know, in a hardwood, in a fiberglass back where you can't play, understood, things change, things shift, and these players can play. They got that, you know, the talent. However, the roots of what they're following, they don't respect their elders, and that's why they'll slip each and every time, each and every time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's a good way to end it, everybody. I heard some great wisdom tonight, and I want to get everybody's last thoughts on stuff. We start off with Reggie. Reggie, please lead on.
Well, like I said earlier, Pee Wee Kirkland went to Norfolk State. So
Norfolk State, that's right. Norfolk State, there it is.
Hey, 757804 represent. What can I say? Saw the brother play. And there was another guy that played.
So Reg, quick scouting report on Pee Wee, since you've seen the play. Man, that's rich, brother. That's a rich experience.
Hey, the brother had a better car than the president of the damn school. Yeah, that's all I can say. And if you want to know about Hampton sports, their motto was, we will hug a thug. So that's why they went and hogging them play against University of Richmond, another one. They said, we cannot control how them boys get them boys in the school with them grades. So we don't know, we need to play them boys. But that's the other show. It's interesting that bitch-ass Pierce Cottingham said that, I don't know, that's no bias. You know, she's nothing but a little Negro. And it seemed like a lot of people took offense to what that clown said, that a certain person on the talk used to be. But then again, the Englishman, you know how those London ones are when they act crazy. But I'm just so happy again that a certain person from the university, or should I say, Winston-Salem, got a nice badass contract with the Phoenix Suns. I'm so glad that Mr. Paul will be getting $120 million and already they named a new basketball tournament after Chris Paul. So
that's
hopefully
nice.
I would say this, I would not be surprised if CIAA shuts down because of these numbers. And I'm still waiting to see if the Orange Blossom kicks off with Jack State and Florida A&M, because that idiot governor in Florida had people down that might be fucking dead by then when this COVID come in.
I hear that.
Yeah, get on for a long ride.
Yeah.
Not just dead.
By the way, Red, a partner of mine, Lay, I know in college, a good friend of mine, is part of a group that's promoting a big time college game, in Ohio. Kentucky State is going to play Central State inside Ohio Stadium, which is going to be nice. Already, there's about 20,000 seats over already. So
there you go. Nicely done, brother. Fred, throw something in the pot, please.
So, first of all, let me say kudos to my niece. She passed away a week ago Sunday. She was one of the victims, military victims of Desert Storm. Like I told people in the family, you know, the upside is she's gone, but the downside is she's gone. The upside is we not worry about her running from us and being here anymore. When it comes to what we were talking about earlier, you know, I have a problem with you all giving out my number, and I get calls from everybody every day anyway, so that's not a big deal. But, you know, it does point to something. We got to bring out Jewish side out, because the Jews help each other. I mean, you know, I have nothing personal against Reggie. He just went to the state, you know, but that, you know, he's grown, man. He's going to be one of
them. I love you, Professor.
He gets out to take the book and pass out, you know. But, you know, I have several connections like that, you know. For those who don't know, Mr. Moore and I have Mr. Moore from the Honor Dan group. We have coexisted like that for now, 30-some years?
Yes,
sir. You know, I mentioned that to somebody. Like, you know him that long? since 1984 when he took the job at Fenton State. I met him the first week he was there, and we worked together for a while. Lou, all the rest of them, there's a lot of young people, like the young lady that just took over as the media person at the CIAA. I remember her as a tennis player at Norfolk State. I remember different ones as students when they were basketball, football players, Gaither, Polly, all those guys. I remember them as college students at the great University of Winston-Salem State University. And then the other guys, to a degree, we got to work out our way of doing things and get our things done, because if we don't, it's going to go away, get away from us, and I say, I'm keeping an eye on this situation with Hayes, who is from Fayetteville, but went to school at Livingston, and I noticed they haven't shown up any of her races on prime time, either at night or in the morning, which I wonder why. But then they make such a big deal out of the other young lady, what's up? But see, that's why I repeat, again, we have to tell our own story.
And always.
For those who don't know, her story has been told through college, in a book that I did on Livingston College that's out now. It's being purchased finally with good numbers. And I think it shows what can happen, as one of my nieces said, don't look at it from perspective of what is. She said, what if you hadn't written a book? That book was written as a gift from our family, of which six members went to Livingston undergrad, and one of them went to seminary there. But, we got to continue to tell our own story. Eric, don't stop telling the truth. It's sinking in.
Yes, sir.
You can get it with me at blackheritagereview.com and on Facebook. I still haven't figured out Twitter yet. I can't remember. The real deal is I can't remember my password. But anyway,
join the club.
hey Fred, get yourself like a dash lane or password. So it keeps all your passwords. So then you ain't got to go through all of that mess, because that's the only only way I can do it.
His way would be Pee Wee Kirkland 22.
There you go. All right. Thanks, Ron.
Yeah.
Eric, throw something in the pot for us, please.
Yeah. It's beautiful always, building with the brothers and the family, because, we never know where these dialogues go, but that's the beauty of it. It's just kind of free flows. It's all relevant. It's taking point. Thank you, Michael, for just shedding light on the buck breaking, and so it's no longer some mythological. We all know better than that. And, fuck rushing the quarterback. But moving forward,
yes, sir.
Really good. And Patrick, being a Jersey guy, he'll connect to this. And this just comes to mind. Really good week for a town called Scotch Plains, New Jersey, right? Which is in Union County, New Jersey. Really good week for Scotch Plains, New Jersey.
That's where I was going, Eric.
I'm going to try to leave something for you, man. But it was like, it was a really good place for, Scotch Plains, New Jersey. My sister-in-law, went to Union Catholic High School in Scotch Plains, New Jersey. He's married to my younger brother. I play AAU ball in Scotch Plains, New Jersey. That's where I first seen Ann Donovan, when she was a 6'10", 6'9", high schooler, playing the ball those points, right?
Because the
girls played there as well. And I'm going to circle back to the basketball part, but the second greatest sprinter to come out of Scotch Plains, New Jersey, in Union Catholic High School is the incredible Sydney McLaughlin. And Sydney McLaughlin, record-breaking quarter 400-meter hurdles. Phenomenal track athlete. Incredible. Mm-hmm. You talk about breaking the code, of
expansion and evolution of an athlete. Mm-hmm. And she's out of Scotch Plains, New Jersey. And why I say she's the second greatest, because Skeets Nehemiah, Renata Miah was first. He was out of Scotch Plains, New Jersey, too.
He was pretty good.
Yeah, he was pretty good. He was a great, yeah, he was okay. He was okay, Herbert. Skeets is a cool brother, man. Like I said, you know, he's around that time frame. No one ever turned out the pin relays. If people got to look that up, they don't know what this is.
Oh, man.
Meyer did.
He
turned that out, okay?
Yeah.
And then why it's another good time for Scotch Plains, New Jersey, the NBA draft just happened. And there was four players selected from one prep school in the first round.
Wow.
And the head coach of that is my former AU gentleman from Scotch Plains, Kevin Boyle. And Kevin Boyle had four players taken out of Montverde Academy in Florida in the first round, starting with Kate Cunningham, Scotty Barnes, Dayron Sharp, and there was another person. Man, I don't want to omit the name, but people will get it. I can't remember. Four. So Scotch Plains, New Jersey, and Union County, the small little sector of the planet, had huge global impact on sports moving forward in many, many capacities.
And Eric, I played pickup ball at St. Peter's College at the time.
But with Kevin? No collegiate coach can claim that.
Yeah.
I like that. Patrick, since you want it, go ahead, brother. Throw something in the pot.
Well, he took half what I was going to do. But what I did, I wanna,
keep
but
going. Now, let's hear from man. Go ahead.
The second part was, it was what I predicted last week, but nobody probably didn't know it. A big move from Trenton, New Jersey. Last year, ran in New Jersey High School's meter champion, a high schooler. A year later, she wins the Olympics.
All right.
A big move. She won the 800.
Gotcha. And then there was a sister named I.G. Wilson. I.G. was 800 meters. I don't know where she's at in any of this right now, but she was on the Olympic team.
Yes.
One thing you're right about, Eric, there's a lot of melanated brothers and sisters from different countries
from all over
the
globe
that have been
all
rocking
the
Olympics. Everywhere.
Yeah, Cuba.
You see something
brown.
Your
sister from Ecuador, man, was a power lifter? I mean, she blew my mind, man. I was like, she wanted to go for Ecuador, and she was a sister. You know, red beans and rice didn't miss her.
And I got to get credit to that white boy that ran the 400 meters. Hurdles.
Yep.
That boy, he wasn't no joke. But the brother was like one step behind him. I got to get him credit. He has eyes there. He didn't care about none of them. You know, so.
And then high school kid out of Florida, Arrington Knight.
Oh, yes.
I mean, this dude's not even a senior yet, and he's just out there. I watched the women's 200 meter heat. I'm telling you, the athletic excellence is amazing that's taking place. I watched one sister from win the long jump from Germany. Mike mentioned from Germany. She won the long jump, I believe.
Yep.
And melanin everywhere in this freaking globe. I mean, it's just shining. That genetic, that grail, man, is just popping up and doing things from all parts of the globe.
That melange, baby. That melange is affecting everybody. That's a two drink conversation in itself. Gary, come on, throw something in the top. I said throw something in the pot. We running out of time.
Hey G, come on, that grilled cheese sandwich, man. Let it go.
To New Jersey again, New Brunswick, New Jersey. McKinley, Michelle McGonagall.
Yeah.
Yes, he ran the 400 hurdles.
Yeah.
Broke a record.
Yes,
again.
World record. Again, yes, again.
Now, there's rumors going around.
There it is.
And the track is wrong, and the shoes
are
wrong.
There it is. Please. Yeah.
Yep.
He broke
there it is.
The record. Stop it. Stop it.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well,
Well, it's like the Jamaican women, man. I mean, you know, that those plantains ain't no joke.
The Jamaican women and girls have been smoking everybody at the Penn Relays for the last decade. They always come up there ready to whoop somebody's ass.
And they do.
That's right.
I mean, I remember they asked Usain, how do you run so fast? He said, yams.
Yams did it. That's right. Oh, Lord.
Grandmama sweet potatoes.
That's right. Now, Jerry will be on hiatus for the next couple of weeks for the Great Lip of Cove, but we will be continuing our music situation with another Blueberry Tea session tomorrow evening at 8. T-Mac, come on in. We're running against the clock.
Kumar Rocker, mother... Oh, forget it. No, let me take that back. Dumbasses. But you know what? You know what? Kemba Walker is not a bad consolation prize. I wanted Kemba Walker 2 years ago. So
yeah.
I'm very, you know, he's, and now he's
nice
coming basically court. To his second he's home.
Score.
Yeah.
Score.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Still need some more stuff though, but you know.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
At least they got a little call. Bit of offense.
They're all going to pack in on Julius now. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
Well, you know what?
Kemba will still be the youngest player in the Lakers, so that makes sense.
That's also true. Well, as far as tomorrow is concerned, excuse me, at 8 p.m. Eastern, the Blueberry Ice Tea session. Yes.
And Mike, I just want to tell Tony, yeah, my sympathies and mentioned that only up 1.5 now. I'll leave it alone.
Oh, shit.
You know, as long as they're still up, that's all I'm, that's
okay.
all I can,
all
that's
right.
all I ask.
Okay.
Come on, rock
them
up. Nah, forget it.
I just want to know one thing. Where the hell is John Milner when you need him?
Come on. I'll say this. I will leave all of you something to stay up with. Tomorrow night, 8 p.m.,
okay.
We're back on air with the Ice Blueberry Tea Set. Patrick, I was thinking about you when I put this on. This is for you and everybody else on the thread. So all the brothers,
all right.
Say good night. Get something on your plate.
Peace.
Kevin James.
Oh, Lord. Oh, Billy.